Blog Talk Radio.
When they would come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they would come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
The upper room. The upper room. The upper room.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
And downs and follies and undercrowns of the previous generation. But it's very interesting, this theme here. He will dispossess the nations of the Goyim, the nationality of the Canaanites. He will dispossess the nations of the Goyim, the nationality of the Canaanites, the Afro-Canaanites, He will dispossess the nations of the Goyim, the nationality of the Canaanites, the Afro-Canaanites from before us. But we're not getting it. Some of us seem to be not getting it. You know, we don't really recognize what it is because we're not in the instructions, the directions. Ones have not given heed to HaTorah. And I'm speaking specifically to the ones who lost now found black and brown sheep of the Beit Yisrael, the ain't white Israelites included, especially, right? The Ethiopian Hebrews, especially the Rastafari, the Rastas. Many of them of this generation for whatever and whatever reasons. And there are reasons. There are reasons. Even within the narrative we're getting here in HaTorah, a new generation is learning about the Akris, ups and downs and follies and undercrowns of the previous generation. But it's very interesting, this theme here, seeing, sight, showing and prove. A new generation is getting the show and prove and also the instructions, right, so they can do better. Right, and not be bitter like the previous generation we have right here, right now. But the key is the hearing, the Shema Yisrael, hear Israel, and see, and how do we hear? Right, how do we hear? Take heed, Ha Moshiach. Yeah, Yeshua said, take heed, Ha Adon said, take heed to how we hear. Let's take heed to how we read. Right, let's take heed to how we see. Behold, this sense of behold, not the hine or the hain, hine, look here it is, but this sense of seeing is to see, to behold. In the name Reuben, we use Reuben or Reuben as an example, the name. Reu in Hebrew means y'all, like speaking to a group of ones and ones, right? Like a group of mind them, a group of ones and ones, see. Like, look, see, to see, physically to see the vision, right? And we see something visually, it's there, it's laid out, show enough, like the show and the proof is right there to see. While the hine, behold, is like, even in speaking about matter, like, here it is, like, look, here it is. Like, someone say, look, here it is, if you're reasoning with somebody. But in this sense, re'e brings more to mind the actual vision. Without a vision, the people live in division, and division being divided. Right, a house divided, or what, a bait divided, cannot stand. Now, here's the segue and the link, even with the daily psalm here in the season, and even today's daily psalm, as per recording this right here, right now, we have Psalm 69. And Psalm 69 is interesting because it has some verses, right, that are also quoted and given as groundation in the Brit Chadasha, in the renewed covenant, in the new covenant, in the renewed covenant. The zeal, it says, the zeal of thy house, one of the first. It is written. Then they recall. The disciples then recall. See, then they had to call it to mind. Then they remembered. Then they recalled what he said and what was written even here in this psalm, Psalm 69. Now, Psalm 69, seeing that it corresponds here in this particular season, the 400 years, with this Torah portion, this 47, the 47th, behold, see, the vision, Rai. We have Rai, also building, when we look at linguistically the language. So here the Hebrew, Re'e. Re'e is speaking to one man, speaking to call Yisrael, to all of Yisrael, all of the members of the body, right, as one, unitedly, in unity. That means that when we look at the Baraka, right, Ha Baraka, the blessing, and Ha Kalala, and the curses or the consequences, it's not in a so-called personal sense, but in a corporate sense. Because this is, here, the ancient corporate law, when we look at the word sound, re'e. Why does he speak to all as one mind? Why does he speak to all as one mind? The corporate sense, a corporate sense. Not just a personal responsibility when he speak as re'u. He could have said re'u, as was said, re'u bain, re'u. Y'all see your bain. See a son, Reuben, see a son. Behold a son. See a son. See him. See the vision? There he is. See him. All right? That's a different sense than re'e. Re'e is speaking to one. If it was said re'e bain, it's like all of y'all as one corporate person, as one corporate mind, see this. But re'u is speaking to all of y'all. That would be saying that, well, you can look at it your own way. Here is saying not to look at it your own way. Look at it corporately. So emphasizing even right here, the ancient corporate law. All this is building on those nine areas of job people activities, right? And overall, the overarching, we can say umbrella, that sovereignty in Yahweh, truth and life, the way of his majesty. So here with Psalm 69 is very, very interesting. The zeal of thy house, right? One house, the bait has eaten I up. The reproaches of them that reproach the I are fallen on I. So those of I and I that seek to push forward, right, with this good news, the true good news of the King of Kings Christ, right, without fear, without favor, enough time the reproaches of those who approach Jah, who approach Abba Father, although they might do him lip service, right, to sing out and ring out his name, do him lip service, but are they really giving ear and hearing? And are they really seeing, or are they seeing blind? So we have also the quotes that link from here to even Romans Gospel. So today's daily psalm is a very, very interesting link. I'm speaking about Psalm 69, prayer of the persecuted, because a messianic psalm, right? It's a psalm of HaMoshiach. Thus, it's a psalm of Christ in his kingly character, Christ in the second advent, Christ in his second adventure, today's daily psalm. So looking at the theme of seeing and not seeing, or seeing and seeing the vision, and seeing blind, right? Blindness has happened, right? It says in part to Yisrael, until when? The fullness of the who? Of the Goyim, or of the nations, the nationalities, the Gentiles. Another very interesting theme is when he says that he would drive out these nations, even begin to drive them out before we even come in. And when we look at even this present event horizon right now and look at Africa, the African night lands, especially even east of the river now, and seeing ones and ones being driven out. Even in this time, while we are focusing on entering in, is a baraka, but we receive it as a curse because not giving ear to that word, right? Not giving ear to that word, therefore the true faith cannot come about without that true seed, right? In the good ground, see, there's the seed in the ground, the sower went forth to sow a seed. So going to build on that theme right there, where he says he would drive out the nations, he would drive out the nationalities. And we're pointing this even to repatriation, It's like ones are confused, right? It's an identity. Some say identity crisis. It's like identity spell or the identity curse. See, there's the baraka for identity. There's the identity baraka, blessing, and there's also the identity curse or the identity the spell. Ones are under a spell. Lost sheep are under a spell. They really know who they be. So when we signify, are ye not as the children Ethiopians unto me, O children Yisrael, this is to identify us because of the Ethiopian link with Yisrael, even as the ones lost now found, even in this North country, even in the Americas and the Caribbean. So it's very, very important just to bring out that theme as well, right, that he's driving out these nations, therefore it's a baraka, it's a blessing, what is currently happening even with Africa for the ones lost now found. But we cannot capitalize on it if we do not have the logistics, the logos, the word. In the beginning was the word was with he, who be, who he be, and the word is he who he be, and that's the surest assurance and guarantee of victory. So building on the first words of this 47th Torah portion, to see, re, to see, and how to see. And it was how, who's being spoken to, that corporate mind sense, right? That all of I and I as one in one sense, not subject to, like if I'm saying to all of y'all, see, this is kind of difficult for some to grasp in an English sense, lost in translation sense, because in English, there's not often that easy sense of it, especially modern, latter-day English. Some older English which says ye. That's why we emphasize often the ye and the y'all from the the and the thy. It's important to see that distinction right there because the context, the build is to be found right there. There can't be no building if we don't see that right there because everything is a bij, a blur, will be a blur, right? And a blur, you know, like when we're talking about vision, 2020, it's a 2020, hindsight is 2020. So we look at where we're at right here in this 400th year with the count as 400th year, 2019. Look at the new Ethiopian year, right? The Ethiopian Kingdom of God year coming forward, 2012, right? And the end of what? The end of the times of the Gentiles, the what? The Goyim, the nations, the nationalities, the nation states. Speaking about the end of the world is the end of the nation states. But how do you comprehend that? It's like, this is the end of the world, and they think, well, you know, this earthly plane is, they have all sort of, how can I say, all sort of delusions, right? All because ones have not given heed, right, to the word, sound, and power of His Majesty. So may I and I, may we as Rastafari, may we as Ethiopian Hebrews, may we as Israelites, right, because who we are. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? So looking at the blindness, right, the blindness is that blindness in part has happened. What has happened? Right, what's happening? Blindness in part has happened to Yisrael, to the fullness. So the Gentiles, or the nations, the nationality, whether they be black or white, even Ayabingi says death to black and white down presses. So here we are looking at some so-called melanated black nations, so-called Canaanite or African nations, right? And seeing them going to Europe, seeing them coming to America, seeing them scattered all over for whether dollars and cents, so forth and so on, whatever their particular reasons are. If we are giving ear to Jah's word, this is also fulfillment of the prophecy. This is being fulfilled. But then when we see how our lost peoples are responding to it, that zeal also eats us up as well. As we have in today's daily psalm, it says, the zeal of Yahweh, the zeal of Jehovah hath eaten I and I up. So let's get a little more of a build right here, because hopefully this can be a building theme, right? Because this psalm, today's daily psalm, Psalm 69, is a messianic psalm. That's what I have to note right here. Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm. We have Berit Hadasha, New Testament quotations from and references to this, today's Mizmor. This psalm also is connected intimately, right, especially in this 400th year with this Torah portion, the 47th Torah portion, Re'eh, behold, see, to indicate in what way it foreshadows. Right? We have like a foreshadowing of HaMoshiach, right, of the Messiah of Christ, and even the Messiahite, the anointed ones. It is the psalm, the mizmor of his humiliation and rejection. Psalm 69, verses 4, 7, 8, verses 10 to 12. In verses 14 to 20, it may well describe the exercises of a holy, a set-apart psyche, nefesh, suke, or soul. A set-apart soul, his set-apart soul in Gethsemane. We have this in Matthew's Gospel 26, chapter 26, verses 36 to 45. While verse 21 is a direct reference to the cross. To the cross, to the sacrifice. Matthew chapter 27, verse 34 and verse 48. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 28. Now we have imprecatory. Imprecatory, what? Imprecatory, like imprecations, like curses. Some would define that verses. So they are cursed verses or imprecatory verses, verses 22 to 28 in Psalm 69, which are connected with Romans chapter 11. Chapter 11, and here in this 47-12 portion, pick up with chapter 11 as well. And they say chapter 11 is called what? Right, in the business sense, nowadays, chapter 11 is called bankruptcy. Romans chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. With the present, now this is what I hope and pray one's given ear to hear, and may one see the reality. The present judicial blindness of the judicial blindness of Yisrael. Right, the blindness to the line of the tribe of Yehuda, the line of the tribe of Judah amongst the ain't right Israelites and amongst Israel by and large. Not all, right, but blindness has happened with us in part. Verse 25, having special reference to Yehuda, Judah, or in the New Testament translated sense, Judas, right? Iscariot, Askarotawi. Because there was other Judas. There's other Judas besides that Judas, so we call him Iscariot. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 20, who is thus made a type typical of his generation. The Iscariot type is in every generation. We need to understand truly what this Iscariot type, and transfer the emphasis more to Iscariot. Right? See, Judas or Judah is speaking to Judah, is speaking to so-called Negroes, so-called black folks. Talking about black folks. Black folks do what Judas Iscariot do to other black folks. Let's recognize that right there. And shares his guilt. So we have a messianic psalm right here, today's daily psalm right here, to chief musician right here, upon Shoshanim. Shoshanim is the trumpets, the lilies, the trumpets, which connotate the message. Also spring, also with Pesach, Passover. All right, so let's recognize the Hebrew signs, the signs, you know, the sign language. What's the sign? Learning to read the Hebrew sign language, a very, very important psalm right here, as it connects both with this Torah portion or with Torah portion number 47. See, in different seasons, sometimes the alignment will be a little bit different between the lunar and the solar. But here, Shema, give ear, right here, and re'eh, anoki noten lefnekem hayom, braka ukalala. See. I have said before your perception, before your presence, your perception, this day, a baraka, a blessing, and the kalala, and the curse, the consequence, a baraka for shema, for hearing, for heeding, to Yahweh, truth and life, and consequences for not hearing, right, and turning aside from Yahweh, truth and life of the King of Kings Christ. 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 The King of Kings Christ.
Yes, yes, yes. May we be that generation. Be that generation that seek the faith.
Ain't got no fun stop. The generation gaps.
Hearken unto the words of Jacob. These are the words of our Father, O Israel. Let me leave, let Reuben live and never die. I will give praises to the Most High. Let me leave, let Reuben live and never die. I will give praises to the Most High. Praises be to the Almighty One. Shall you see where we are going? For our sake I make those pleas. For the seeds of my sowing.
And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room.
In the Christian tradition, based on Acts 1:13, the upper room was said to be the site of the Last Supper, i.e., the cenacle. But it was not the upper room found in Mark 14:15 and Luke 22:12 is the site of the Last Supper. However, the upper room in Zion, Acts 1:13, located on Mount Zion in the city of David, was the usual place where the apostles of Adonai Baruch Hu stayed in Jerusalem. And according to the Rastafari Encyclopedia, based upon Acts 2:42, as it is written, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. It was thus the first church of the Nazarene, our black master and savior, Jesus Christ, and said by many to be the first Christian church, Christian church, Christian church, Christian church.
The upper room.
Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes.
From the upper room of Zion, what they beyond, distinguishing the light seeker from the peon. Rise, lay it on us, lay upon us, knowledge that is eons. Old heads have been told since the days of old, and I sit watching the story unfold. Yeshua gave us the code, gave us the name, kept the Maui Hala Selassie, the first will reign. The opener of the book of the seven seals. Time for the gathering, it's the matter, and no, not the Vatican. Christ in his kingly character, we on that again. I'ma keep speaking the scriptures until I'm out of wind. Built on the true foundation, there's no shaking. There's no need of you hating, stop hesitating. How many of you have been waiting? In the upper room, we meeting in the upper room of Zion.
These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room.
The upper room.
And when they were...
Discipleship radio.
So here for continuity here with the 48th sabbatical study. That was an audible from the previous Shavua, as we had Psalm 69, and there was a reflection within the Torah reading and feeding in the daily psalm. Today's daily psalm is Psalm 76. Going to seek to ride up with today's daily psalm, Psalm 76. But here, let's go through an overview, right, of the previous. We still have some questions there. I'm going to just touch on some of these basic questions and then touch on a synopsis here for the 48th, the Shelf team. Then hopefully, Chabarim, we can get into these questions. So iron sharpen iron. We can grow in grace and the knowledge of the King of Kings Christ. Now, coming forward, actually, there's 72 questions. Some very interesting areas of HaTorah and law, even the tort, such thing called tort law, touch on some of those details. But let's just run through some of the questions we had left off. And after the Shabbat podcast, the first day of the Sunday service, we had left off roughly with, what was that? It was question 34. I think it was 34 from the Re'e, from the previous sabbatical study for the Shabbat Strong. So here's pick up with these questions here, just for our first ear, because as we read through the text, it's also important for us to put it into the proper context, you know, as we grow in grace and in knowledge. So Here, here, here. Give me a moment, brothers and sisters, just to, yeah.
I'm Elijah Muhammad, the preacher of freedom, justice, and equality. To my people here in the Western Hemisphere, in the United States of America, who has been lost from their own people for 400 years. Now they have been found by Almighty God Allah. In the person of
Kadamawi,
the whom praise is due for
so right here, here, here from the RSS 47, the previous sabbatical study, some of the additional questions. I left off with question 34. Why did Jah choose Yisrael according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2? Why did Hashem choose Yisrael? Israel, Yasharala Yisrael, was chosen to be Am Segula. In the Hebrew, Am, people, Segula, treasured people. Some translations have it as a peculiar people. But actually, Segula is like a treasure, something you treasure, you protect, that has a value. So Yisrael was chosen to be Am Segula, a treasured Am Segula, a treasured people, to praise Echad, Ha-Echad, to praise the one who delivered them from the bondage in Mitzrayim. Question 35, what are the two marks of a kosher mammal? According to HaTorah, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 3 to 8, what are two marks of a kosher mammal? A kosher mammal is one that has hoofs divided into two parts and that chews the cud. For example, they must swallow their food. In other words, chewing the cud. What is chewing the cud? Swallowing their food, bringing it up, and chewing it again. So the two marks of a kosher mammal is one that has hooves divided into two parts and that chews the cud. You probably heard that expression, chewing the cud. Chewing the cud for the animal is swallowing their food. As they chew it, they swallow it, they bring it up, and they chew it again. So that means that the food and the meat of the food is well digested, in other words. Question 36, what are the two marks of a kosher fish? According to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 9 to 10, a kosher fish must have both scales and fins. Again, a kosher fish, according to HaTorah, must have both scales and fins. Question 37, what is the main characteristic of unclean birds? According to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 11 to 18, the main characteristics of unclean birds. The main characteristic of the birds that are called and considered unclean is that they are raptorial or predatorial. Predatory. They are predatorial, they're raptorial. HaTorah, John's direction instruction, lists 24 species. There are 24 species in HaTorah of non-kosher birds. Birds that are raptorial and predatory. Question 38. May winged insects be eaten according to the Torah? According to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 19, may winged insects be eaten? Answer, no. Lo, no. Only insects that can be eaten according to HaTorah are the insects that, quote, leap. The insects that, quote, leap are regarded as kosher. for example, such as grasshoppers and locusts. Question 39. So with John the Baptizer, so that he ate with the honey and locusts, and some say, well, there's a type of plant that's called the locust plant, but the question is whether the plant back then was called the locust plant. But even if John the Baptist did eat locusts, according to HaTorah, that was kosher. Question 39, can you eat the meat of an animal that has died a natural death? According to Deuteronomy chapter 14, 21, the answer, no, no. Only ritually slaughtered, in other words, live animals, kosher animals that have been slaughtered, these are designated as, quote, clean. Among the dead is among the meat, these are designated as clean and may be eaten. Question 40, how much of a tithe is required to be given to Ha-Lewim, to the Levites, according to Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. How much of a tithe? A tenth part of a tithe, a tenth part of a tithe. Note, however, that after harvesting one-fiftieth of the yield, after harvesting one-fiftieth of the yield is separated for the Kohen, for Ha-Kohen, for the priest, and it's called in Hebrew the teruma, the heave offering, or the kind of like giving it up, lifting it up, giving it up offering, the heave offering. Now, after this, a tenth is given to Ha-Lewi, to the Levites. Now, this tithe is called the Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser tithe Rishon, the first tithe. Now, besides this, there's another tithe that is separated to be eaten at HaMishkan, at the sanctuary, during celebrations. Now, we hear a lot about tithes and offerings, especially among, the New Testament Christians that say they ain't dealing with the Old Testament, but they deal with the tithes. Did you know? This is the order of the tithes right here. So question 40, very, very important question, that asks how much of a tithe is required to be given to Ha-Lewim, to the Levites. Now, check this. All the priests, according to the Torah, all the priests were Levites, but not all of the Levites were priests. Only the sons of Aaron and sons were the anointed Moshiach. They were anointed Messiah, right? And they were the priests. They served in that Kohanim, that priestly function. So when the question is asked, there's some attention to detail here, right, that needs to be noted. When it's asked how much of a tithe is required to be given to the Levites, according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, the answer, a tenth part. And the note, take note of the note, however, that after harvesting, can we hear about tithes nowadays among, the Christians, and amongst others, those who say they are of Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, Yeshua HaMoshiach, and they talk about tithes every week, whenever you get your, paycheck or whatever else like that. And there is a confusion between wages, right? Wages, what is wages and income, right? Wages, take note, wages and income is not the same thing. Some people know about this whole tax thing in America where some people say, only really businesses, originally only businesses, right, were required to pay, that kind of income tax, right? And those, of course, who own fields and farms, because the income, regardless of the income from the land, right, the income from the growth of the crop, that's income, right? And also the income as far as the livestock, the increase of livestock. Those people who worked on the land, right, who worked the land, whether they were tenant farmers or whatnot, or you brought them in just to harvest, they receive wages, right, wages. HaTorah requires those who have title to land, right? And therefore have land. That's what the pedigree in Numbers is all about. Not you are what your father is. Well, it basically was saying that those who could trace their lineage, right, to the 12 sons of Yaakov, of Jacob, they had land title, right? They had land title. It didn't mean that they are what their father is in this extreme sense that some of the latter-day Israelites may want to make believe, but that was who had title, who would basically have title to land, right? And the ones who had title to land were only those who could trace their lineage, their direct descent to the 12 sons of Yaakov, a.k.a. Yisrael, Yasharala. And it's they specifically that this Torah speaking to, especially regarding tithes, right? So the ones that were required to pay tithes were the B'nai Yisrael, were the sons of Israel, and especially those B'nai Yisrael that had title to land. And those who had title to land based on the principle of Numbers chapter 1, verse 18. But others in Yisrael, it was not required to pay the tithes or the income from the land because they did not own land. They did not have title to land. Only the sons of Yisrael, only Israel was to have title to land. I emphasize that right there because once you understand that, then half of this tithe thing that you hear in latter-day and counterfeit Christianity flies out the window right there, right? Now, gifts and offerings and contributions, they're those like free will. But as far as we're talking about tithe, so when we say how much of a tithe is required to be given to the Levites, right, to the Levites. When we say the Levites, we're speaking about the Levites who assist with the holy place and who the holy place is their main responsibility and Yahweh is their inheritance. That's why it says that the Levites don't have any inheritance with the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, because the sons of Israel, they have inheritance of the land that is passed down in the tribe, you know, and from father to son, right? Or in those cases where there is no son, to a daughter, right? And the condition there is that the daughter must marry within her own tribe, because to marry for the next tribe could cause civil war in Yisrael, right, to keep that particular order right there. So to the question of how much of a tithe is required to be given to Levites, when we look at the Levites from the Torah perspective, we have the rank and file Levites with their particular service, and then in particular we have the Kohanim, the priests. So you might hear say a Levite, right, or the Levite, and you might hear say priests. Now both the priests and the Levites were of the tribe of Levi. But the distinction is to the priests, right? The priests, the camp is a threefold structure, to keep it simple, threefold structure. At the heart, you have Jah, right? You have the tabernacle, his presence, his Torah, the Ark of the Covenant, his witness. And right alongside that, you have the priests, the anointed priests, the Messiah priests, the Moshiach priests in the New Testament sense, the christened, the Christ priest, right? Then you have the sons of Aaron who are the Kohanim, the fellow priests, right? And then you have the Levites. So you have the first circle at the center, you have the priests. Surrounding them and assisting them, you have the tribe of Levi. And then the third circle surrounding them, right, and giving their offerings in due time and due season is the B'nai Yisrael, or the sons of Israel, the Israelites. So that's the threefold structure, we could say, of Yisrael, of Israel. We have the priests, the Levites, and the rank and file Israelites, namely the sons of Israel. This is who's being spoken to right here. So how much of a tithe, of a tenth? A tenth part. But note, however, that after harvesting, this is only after harvesting, because after harvesting, can you properly account income? Income can only be properly accounted for after harvesting. So does harvesting happen every week? Right? This is why it wasn't what the Christians, when they talk about tithes and all of that, you know, like a 10% of your salary and everything. This is not what Torah Torah was never even speaking in that context, because there were those in Israel who were wage earners. Nothing was required of them from their wage. If they sought to give a gift, an offering, you know, bring a free will offering, they were free to do so. So after harvesting, one fiftieth of the yield is the income from the ground, the income of the crops, the income of the livestock. One fiftieth of the yield is separated for HaKohen. That means that as one goes through the farming and season, right, one fiftieth of what comes in from the ground, that income by the farmer, is to be put aside or separated for HaKohen as what is known as a teruma. After that, a tithe is given to the Levite, right, given to the Levite. This is called the Ma'aser Rishon, the first tithe. Besides this, another tithe is separated to be eaten at the Mishkan, at the tabernacle, at the holy place during celebrations. Now, the celebrations, three seasons, three pilgrim festivals, three times in the year shall all the males, the Ziknei Yisrael, right? So the Zakar, all the males, right, of Yisrael is to appear, and that's why it says in HaTorah that they are not to appear empty, right, empty, because during the seasons, right, in season, out of season, as they harvest, they put up that portion of the tithe for who the tithe is due. Right, so there's another tithe, another tenth that is separated, which is to be eaten by that Israelite and his relations, his family. When it's talk about to remember the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless, and you know, so this means that a tithe, in other words, when people in the church, they, you know, when they give tithe, they give tithe. Do they ever put aside a tithe to be spent during the holiday and holiday season? They don't tell you about that tithe there. They don't tell you about the tithe that actually is spent by that Israelite and his family and all those in his gates when he goes to the holy city, the Mishkan, to Jerusalem, to the holy place, during those three times in the year where all the males of Yisrael are to appear and not to appear empty. So one of the tithes is actually to be consumed, right, by the one who collects the tithe. The church never tells you that one about that particular tithe right there, right? Now that is called, right, the Ma'aser Sheni, Ma'aser Tithe Sheni, the second tithe. Now note that during the third and the sixth years, so now tithes actually had their kind of yearly, right, their yearly dispensation. In other words, it wasn't week to week or even month to month, but it was a yearly dispensation. That's why the Torah brings out that during the third and the sixth years of the Shemitah, the release cycle, that seven-year cycle, the second tithe is given to the poor amongst us, according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. This is called the Ma'aser Ani, or Ma'aser Oni. Some would enunciate it as Oni. Ma'aser Ani, the poor tithes, the tithes for the poor, Ma'aser Ani. Finally, on the Shemitah year is the year of release, where debts are released, it's the seventh year of the cycle, none of the tithing laws in the seventh year of the cycle are applied. So that means that during the seventh year of the cycle, tithing laws are suspended. Did they ever tell you about that in the church, that, well, there's like every 7 years or there's a seven period where, hey, you don't have to, you know, this whole year, no tithe? No, they didn't. This implies that we should donate one-fifth of our resources to fulfill the mitzvah, the commandment of tzedakah, charity or righteous giving. Therefore, we should donate one-fifth of our resources to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, the commandment of charity, the commandment of righteous giving. Note that money, right, is also acceptable form of tithing. Some of the fellow Israelites, when they found out about this whole thing about tithing and how the preachers and the pastors were misapplying it, you know, got so kind of out there saying, it's never money, but that's not really so. Tithing sometimes is money, as it says in HaTorah, but usually the tithing is of the crops, right, the yield, the income of the field, and also the increase of the livestock. But money is an acceptable form of tithing, according to Torah, and that's known as the Ma'aser Kesafim. Ma'aser Kesafim, especially where, you know, for example, one has saved up during the 3 and 6 year of the tithing schedule, has saved up, and now when they're traveling, they got a whole lot to bring, and they don't have the ways and means to bring it. So therefore, they can convert that into money, and therefore, when they come to the holy city, they can then present the money, you know, whether as a gift or also present the money in place of the tithe that they have saved up for themselves. So actually, part of the tithe is like when we go on holy day, holiday, one of the tithes is what we will be eating when we get to the holy city. Not to just be given to the priest, but this is for us. So there's a tithe to be given to the priest, there's a tithe to be given to the Levite, and then there's a tithe, right, also for the poor, but then there's that tithe to also be used when one goes to the holy days and the holy season and the holy time. Question 41, when is it kosher to test Yahweh, Yahweh? When is it kosher? Is it ever? When is it kosher to test he who be who he be? Although we are forbidden to test Yahweh Eloheinu, he who be who he be, our Elohim, according to Devarim, Deuteronomy 6 and 16, we are permitted to do so regarding tithing, regarding the Ma'aser. So although it is forbidden to test Yahweh Eloheinu, Jehovah, our power, Deuteronomy 6 and 16, we are permitted to do so regarding tithing. How do we know this? Well, in Malachi 3 and 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and put me to the test, saith Yahweh Sabaoth, saith Jehovah of hosts of armies. If I will not open the windows of Shemayim, of heaven, for you and pour out for you baraka, blessing immeasurable. Then also we have the word from the Mishle Shlomo, right, the Mashalim, Mashal, the Proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, says, tzedakah saves from death. Now, tzedakah is how we refer to charity in one sense, but it comes from the root tzedek, which means righteous. This is why we interpret tzedakah as righteous giving. Proverbs 10 and 4, tzedakah saves from death. Righteous giving saves from death. Question 42. What food increases one's fear, one's reverence, one's respect of Yahweh, of Yahweh, of Jehovah? What food? Food that's given as ma'aser, ma'aser. Food that's given as ma'aser, as tithes, it increases the reverence, the respect, the reverence of he who be, who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be he, blessed be the name. Food that's given as tithes, as ma'aser, increases the reverence and respect of Jehovah, of he who be, who he be, his divine majesty. Question 43, what is the sabbatical year? What's the sabbatical year? Chaverim, what's the sabbatical year? Well, in the agricultural cycle of years, the seventh year is a, quote, sabbatical for the land. In the agricultural cycle of years, the seventh year is a sabbatical year for the land. And this is called the Shemitah. Shemitah. What's the Shemitah? The release. The year of release. The sabbatical year. Question 44. How do you determine the sabbatical year? Take a current Hebrew Judaic year. Take the current Hebrew or Judaic year. Divide it by seven. If there is no remainder, it is a sabbatical year, considered to be a sabbatical year. Otherwise, it is not. Note that the date for the new Judaic year is Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is the fifth of the seven appointed feasts that's known in the Torah as the Day of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, which is on the first of the seventh month. The first of the seventh month in the later day Judaic calendars, Tishri, and this is in the fall time. So how do we determine the sabbatical year? Taking the current Hebrew, Hebraic, or Judaic year and dividing it by seven. If there is a remainder, it is considered a sabbatical year. Otherwise, it is not. Question 45. What three things were to happen during the sabbatical year, according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 1 to 3? What three things were to happen during the sabbatical year? The land, she was to remain fallow. The land was to remain. Let the land enjoy her Sabbath. The land was to remain fallow. All debts were to be canceled at the end of the sabbatical year. When they were canceled at the end of that sabbatical year. Thirdly, the Hebrew, the Israelite, the Judaic indentured servants were to be set free. The Hebrew, the Israelite indentured servants were to be set free. Remember the sabbatical year, Shemitah year, it's a year of release. So the land to enjoy her Sabbath, the land was to remain fallow, right? In other words, not farmed, not tended to, just allowed to be. All debts were to be canceled at the end of the sabbatical year, and the Yehudi, the Hebrew, the Israelite indentured servants were to be set free. Question 46. What was the purpose? What was the purpose? And what is, but what was the purpose for the sabbatical year? According to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 4 to 6, the purpose, to eliminate poverty. The purpose of the sabbatical year was to eliminate poverty and oppression and downpression in the land, and to teach everyone, everybody, to teach everyone to depend entirely upon Hailahim for Chayim, upon Elohim for life. So the purpose of the sabbatical year, to eliminate poverty and downpression in the land, to teach everyone to depend entirely upon Hailahim, upon the true good, the true God, Elohim, for Chayim, for life and liberty. Question 47. What happened if Shemitah was not observed as Ha'el, as the Almighty, Hailahim, commanded? What happened? Crops would not yield as much as enough, and the people would eventually be exiled from the land, as we have in Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. So what would happen if the Shemitah, the year of release, was not observed as Jah had commanded? Well, crops would not yield as much, and the people would eventually be exiled from the land. Now, at this point, I should have had that clip are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me? Because this is exactly what happened because the godless creeping coup against his majesty, Kamari Hala Selassie, circa 74, 75. Exactly the reasons behind the scenes of the so-called drought. Who causes drought? Is it man or is it God? So Ethiopia being a covenant, a once covenant-keeping nation, it's interesting that we can apply this as well. Crops would not yield as much, and the people would eventually be exiled from the land. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, first time in history, Ethiopians in exile. You can study more than 3,000 years of history. We'll never see that any other time but in times like these. The 70 years of Babylonian captivity were punishment for the 70 Shemitot. The 70 Shemitot. Shemitot is the Shemitas. The Shemitas, Shemitot. The 70 Shemitot, the 70 years of release that Yisrael Yasharallah failed to keep from the time they entered the land to the destruction of the first temple that was 490 years later. Think about that, 497 times 7, 49, 490 years later. During the captivity, Hailahim, Jah caused the land to receive its appropriate rest by remaining desolate for 70 years. Again, during the captivity, because the Israelites, the Judahites were in Babylon, during that time, Jah caused the land to receive her appropriate rest, as he says, so the land now was able to enjoy her Shabbats, her Sabbaths, appropriate rest by remaining desolate with the Israelites, the Judahites, namely of the southern kingdom in Babylon. The Judahites in Babylon, the land could finally enjoy her Sabbath. That's what would happen, and that's what be happening. Question 48. What is our responsibility to a needy kinsman? According to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 to 11, what is our responsibility to a needy kinsman, a needy fellow Israelites, even applying this? Covenantally speaking, to the call, children of faithful Rastafari, what is our responsibility to a needy kinsman? Well, we must not, quote, harden our heart and, quote, close our hand. Jah instructs us that we must not harden our heart and we must not close our hand against our brother. Instead, the word used in the Torah is patoach tiftach. You shall surely open your hand like wide. The idea here, patoach tiftach, opening your hand wide and lend him ever he might need. This idea is amplified in the following verse that reads, you shall readily give to him. In the Hebrew, right? Naton, titain, lawu. Naton, giving, titain, you to give, lawu, to him. You shall readily. The Hebrew sense of it is like, give you giving to him. This is a sense, naton, right? The sense of giving, titain, you to give, lawu, to him. Naton, titaina, lawu. You shall readily, you shall surely. Some translators bring it out, you shall surely. But in the Hebrew, the verb is kind of repeated twice. It's like, in giving, you give to him. In giving, you give to him. Like giving and giving and giving to him, right? That's the idea right there. That's what our responsibility is to a needy kinsman. Question 49. What is the connection between idolatry and the refusal to give tzedakah? Tzedakah, charity, tzedakah, from the Hebrew tzedek, which means righteous. So when you hear one talking about tzedakah, right, even the Muslims, they have a word, sadak, Sadakah, sadakah. They say that, yes, sadakah, sadakah. That's usually giving. But notice the root idea of the word sadakah, right, in the Hebrew, sadakah is tzedek, which means righteous. But often it's translated as charity. Even in some cases, it's translated as love. But what is the connection between idolatry and the refusal to give charity, the refusal to give tzedakah, the refusal to give righteously? Well, one who will not help the poor, according to the teaching of Torah, it denies that Ha Elohim has given him his substance, and therefore, right, believes that whatever wealth he has belongs to him alone. And therefore, you know what we call such a one? Thief! Thief! Again, what is the connection? Right? What is the connection? Connection, connection, connection. What is the connection between idolatry and the refusal to give tzedakah, charity, righteous giving? Well, one who will not help the poor, right, and the poor brother, right, denies that Jah has given him his substance, and therefore he belies that whatever wealth he allegedly has belongs allegedly to him and to him alone. This is the connection between idolatry and the refusal to righteously give, to give charity, to give tzedakah. Question 50. Why must there always be poor in the land? According to Deuteronomy 15:11, why? Well, the wealthy, those who have wealth, those who have something, are tested in their willingness, their free willingness to help the less fortunate, while the poor, are also tested regarding their faith, their emunah, their admittance, their credit, and Jah's provision, and Jah already seeing ahead and providing for them. This is according to the Midrash Rabbah. Also referred to Robeinu Yeshua, Ainai Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, our Black Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his comment found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 11. His comment in Matthew chapter 26, verse 11. Let's just go there. Right here, a couple more questions, brothers and sisters, but just for continuity purposes, I'd like to go over these questions. They remind us of things that we may have read and may not have fully understood or seeing the context between one thing and the next thing, so we can see the fullness, right, of everything, right, in Yahweh, truth and life. So here, St. Matthew, Kedus Mateos, Matthew chapter 26, verse 11. The words of Yeshua, for y'all have the poor always with you, but me, y'all have not always. Yeah. There's another place where he says to them, I think it was complaining, Judas Iscariot was complaining about the amount of money the woman spent on that alabaster box and how that couldn't be given to the poor. And, you know, and Yeshua said something like, the poor you have with you, you know, always, and you can do whatever you want for the poor whenever. He was like, so nigga, this is for me. You know what I mean? You know, so just to point that out right there. So, yeah, on the poor. So the wealthy are being tested in their willingness to help those who need, and the poor are being tested regarding their faith, their admittance in John's provision for them, in him providing for them, and also dealing with, you know, those wealthy people who are stingy and who are stealing from Jah, thinking that it's all their own. Question 51. What was the maximum period of indentured servitude for the Hebrews and the Israelites? Put that in that context there. What was the maximum period of indentured Hebrew servitude according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 12 to 18? Well, a Hebrew who became an indentured servant could serve for six years, but was to be set free in the seventh. So the maximum amount of time that a Hebrew, right, could become an indentured servant, either to another Hebrew, right, was for 6 years. but was set free in the seventh. The servant was sent out with what we call today severance gifts. Severance gifts. This rule, this judgment and this rule was adopted because of Yisrael Yasharala's servitude in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, in Kemet, in the Egypta Hetkapata. Here, question 52. What was to be done with all male firstborn of the flocks? What was to be done with all the male, the Zakar, male firstborn of the flocks, according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 19 to 22? Well, they were to be consecrated, kind of set apart, set aside, consecrated by being given to HaKohanim, by being given to the priests, according to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 17. Note that these must be defect-free animals. In other words, while giving the priest this, you're not giving, you know, some busted up, you know, animals that you would have no use for. No, they must be tamim, perfect, without blemish, defect-free animals. And if not, they could be. If they had a defect, in other words, they were not tamim, right? They could be slaughtered and eaten, as it says, as the gazelle and the deer, that phrase there, as the, what's called the roebuck, you know, and as the hart, or as the gazelle and as the deer. That there right there is kind of a Hebrew metaphor, and to say that would mean for personal consumption, as the gazelle and as the deer. Question 53, when is the month of Aviv, or in the KJV Bible, Abib? And we say Abib is related to like Abibah, like Addis Ababa, right? Abibah. Abib is the barley crop. And Abibah in the Amharic means to sprout, to bud, to grow. And Abibah is a flower. So when is the month of Abib, or in modern Hebrew, Aviv? Aviv or Abib? Biblically, ancient pointing, Abib. When is that month? According to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. The word, as we said, Abib, biblical ancient pointing, modern Hebrew, Aviv, it means barley. The word Abib means barley, and it designates the first month of spring, the month of Pesach, the month of Passover, the month of Fasica. Abib was later called Nisan, after the Babylonian, you know, captivity, it was called Nisan, according to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, and Esther chapter 3, verse 7, and corresponds to March, April in the Gregorian calendar. The Sanhedrin, or the Hebrew, the Israelite assembly, the Sanhedrin was responsible for making sure that Pesach, Passover, occurred in the spring, and sometimes added an additional month to the calendar to offset the shift between the lunar and solar calendars. So sometimes an extra additional month, like Adar 2nd, was added to the calendar to offset the shift between the wheel and the wheel, the shift between the lunar and the solar calendars. Question 54. What is the date of Pesach, Passover, Fasica, according to Deuteronomy 16 and 1? Now, the Seder is like the order, right? The order of the service, the Seder, the order. The Seder, it begins on Nisan 14th or Abib 14th or the 14th of the first month at twilight, and it continues through the night of Nisan 15th or the next night, the 15th. Quote, as it is written, for it was the month of Abib at night that Yahweh, hey, Jehovah Yah Elohim, freed you. Refer to Numbers chapter 28, verses 16 to 17. Question 55, where and when was the Pesach, the Passover lamb, to be sacrificed? Where and when was the Passover lamb, the Fasica lamb, to be sacrificed according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2. This is known as the Korban Pesach. Korban, Korban, the offering. Korban Pesach. The Passover offering, or referred to as the Passover sacrifice, was to be offered in the evening, right, the evening of Abib 14th, the 14th of the first month, Abib, later to be called Nisan, the 14th, before sundown, and only at HaMishkan, only at the tabernacle, the public altar, the public Mizbeach, the public altar, quote, where Yahweh, Jehovah will choose to establish Shemo, his name, Sham, there, referred to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 5 to 6. So the Korban Pesach, where and when was the Passover lamb to be sacrificed? It was to be offered, right, in the evening, right, of the first month on the 14th, before sundown, and only at the Mishkan, only at the tabernacle where the public altar was, because the public Mizbeach, the public altar at the tabernacle, was, quote, where Jehovah will choose to establish Shemo, to establish his name, Veya. Question 56. What is the Feast of Unleavened Bread according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 3 to 4? It's a seven-day feast that begins on Nisan 15th, or the 15th of the first month, Abib 15th, Passover, when all chametz is yeast, leaven, the yeast, the chametz, yeast, leaven, is removed, and only the, quote, bread of distress, only the matzah. What is the matzah, yekita and jera, is the bread of distress, or the bread of affliction, right, may be eaten during the 6 days following Pesach, following Passover, between the eaves, right, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 7 to 8. Question 57, what is the Omer? The Omer count. What is the Omer count according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9? The Omer count is a 49-day, 7 times 7, the 2/7 clash, 49-day, 7 weeks of days, 7 Shabbats, with the count 7 Shabbats complete countdown that commemorates, right, on the 50th day, right, the 50 days that pass between the Israelites' redemption from Mitzrayim, from Kemet, from Egypt, and the time that Yisrael Yasharala received HaTorah at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. The Omer offering presented each day for 49 days, beginning on the second day of Pesach, of Passover, the day following the Seder night, until the 50th day, which is called in the Brit Chadasha, New Testament, as Pentecost, Pentecoste, the 50th day, the Pentecoste, the 50th day. Question 58, what is the Feast of Weeks? The Feast of Weeks, what is it? Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 10. The Feast of Weeks is known Hebraically as the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot, Shavuot. Shavua in Hebrew is a week. Shavua, modern Hebrew, Shabua, from the Sheba, seven, the 7 days, the Shabua. And so when we make it a plural, Shabuot, or Shavuot, is weeks. In other words, the feast, the festival of weeks, is also a.k.a. Pentecoste, right, which means the 50th day. This occurs exactly 49 days after the start of the Omer count. And the Omer actually is the wheat, is like the growth of the sheaf. When it's like a sheaf of wheat, is actually the sheaf of wheat, literally is the Omer. So counting the Omer as it's growing over, you know, the 49 days. The Omer count to commemorate, this all is to commemorate the giving of HaTorah, the direction, instruction to Yisrael, to Yasharala, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, Talmudim, to the disciples of Robeinu Yeshua, of Yeshua HaMoshiach, according to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 2. Question 59, a few more questions, a few more right here. What is the Feast of Booths? The Feast of Booths, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. What is the Feast of Booths? We also like to call the Feast of Booths huts, right? To keep it very Afro-Asiatic, Afro-Shemitic. The Feast of Huts, because sukkah is a booth. Sukkah is like a temporary, like a shanty. You can say the Feast of the Shanty, Shanty Town, right? The Feast of Booths, the Feast of Huts. But this is known as Hag HaSukkot, right? The Feast of Festival of Tabernacles or Booths, the Festival of Sukkot, the Festival of Huts. This is a seven-day holiday, high holy day, that commemorates the 40-year journey through the Midbar, through the desert, through the wilderness. During this time, the people, Jah people, were to live in booths, were to live in huts, were to live in temporary structures, tabernacles, and to rejoice in Jah's provision, his provider, Jehovah Jireh, his seeing ahead, looking ahead, providing ahead, and his care. Question 60. What holidays are we commanded to rejoice and express joy? What holidays, what holy days are we commanded? Notice that the commandment, we say keep the commandment. Well, in this context, there are commandments, right, for us to rejoice and to express joy, to rejoice and to express joy. So what holidays are we commanded to rejoice and to express, you know?
Well, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God.
Glance! Rastafari. Glance! Rastafari.
I and I are commanded to be joyful during Shavuot, during the harvest, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecoste, as well as during Sukkot, during Tabernacles, though many other holidays are joyful as well. But specifically, we are commanded to be joyful and rejoice during harvest, Shavuot, as well as during Sukkot. So it's interesting when we look at the seven appointed feasts, festivals, and appointments. It's during the fourth and the seventh. During the fourth and the seventh of the seven holidays, Shavuot, harvest, and during Sukkot, tabernacles, booths, huts, ingathering. Question 61. What are the three required pilgrimage festivals? What are the three required pilgrimage festivals? We call this the Shalosh, three Regalim. Regalim means feet, right? Regal is like a foot, right? Regalim is feet. So we call the three pilgrim festivals, the Shalosh Regalim, the three tribes, the three pilgrims, you know, three feet. Almost literally saying 3 feet, but that's referring to these three pilgrim festivals where we trod, make tracks to the holy place. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 to 17. Well, attendance was required for the three festivals of Pesach, of Passover, unleavened bread, right? Shavuot, right? Harvest, and Sukkot. So we have Passover, the first, right? Secondarily, Shavuot, right? Harvest. And thirdly, Sukkot, tabernacles. Each person, especially each son of Yisrael, right, person was required to present an offering, quote, according to their means, right, based on Yahweh's barakah. So in other words, this is why it says, three times in the year shall all the males of Yisrael present themselves in the place that he who be sets his name, and they shall not appear empty, They should not appear empty, because they're required, and we're required to present an offering, a korban, right, according to our means, based on how Jah has blessed I and I. So to show up here empty will be utter disrespect. Question 62, fulfillment question here, here, here. What do you get more of when you give it to others? What do you get more of when you give it to others? Answer here. The more money you give away to tzedakah, to righteous giving, to charity, tzedakah, the more you get back. Since doing so, it honors Yahuwah, Jehovah's heart towards others. All right? Notice what we said. We said tzedakah. Tzedakah is righteous giving. Check, check. So right here, 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 brothers and sisters, looking at the time right here, that was to seal up the 62 or so questions we had from the Re'eh Torah reading and feeding. So to seal up right there, 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 what should we seal up with? Oh, you know what? We haven't heard the Mishkana tune. Give thanks, Sister Bridget, right, as well as Ras Muata, the Mishkana session. Here, Mishkana in the Amharic corresponds to Toda, Tawada, thanks and praise, Mishkana, Mishkana, give thanks.
Psalm 81. מזמור פ"א למנצח על הגיתית לאסף, 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 לאסף.
Sing aloud unto God our strength, our strength.
עוזנו, 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 עוזנו. הרנינו לאלוהים עוזנו, 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 עוזנו.
Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob, God of Jacob, God of Jacob.
לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב. הריעו לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב, לאלוהי יעקב.
Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied, 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 have satisfied.
And here, 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 we're in the season right here, the 40 days, the 40 days. Leading up to the fall festival season. We're here in the 6 months, the sixth moon. And during this time, it's known as the Cheshbon HaNefesh, my Cheshbon, searching, inquiring, HaNefesh, the soul-searching time. And we blow the shofar, the ram's horn, to awaken the soul. And the psalm right there, any first psalm, it had that message about the ram's horn, the shofar, and the season.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Here we went through the questions, and it's a discussion item, just like five of them. Just touch on these five right here, so we can move forward more fully with the show team. Here we're approaching the sixth day right here, the Shabbat, coming forward, forward, forward. So here, continuity purposes from the RSS 47, Re'e. So our Torah portion, the previous Torah portion, the Re'e, See, I give before you, I set before you today a baraka and a kalala. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, chapter 11, verse 26. This is often identified as the basis for the Judaic understanding of free will. This particular sentence here from the 47th sabbatical study, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, behold, or see, re'e. I set before you today a baraka, a blessing, prosperity, increase, and Kalala, and a curse, a consequence, or a trivializing, triviality, like to make it less, to make it a light thing, a thing of no substance, right? This is often identified, this word sound here, see, I have given before you, I've set before you today, choice, the choice factor. So here's the basics for the Judaic understanding of free will. Belief or admittance, credit in free will, it coheres with the revelation of Ha-Elohim, his righteousness. Since punishment is only fitting when a person has a genuine choice between doing right and wrong, between proverbially speaking good and evil. As Abraham Abinu, Abraham our father, as he said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 29, 25, 1825, Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Here, just brought this up right here. Ha-shofet kol ha'aret, the judge of all the earth. Ha-shofet, remember this Torah portion is shofetim. Shofetim is the plural of judges. Here, Abraham, he says, ha-shofet. Ha-shofet, the judge, call of all, ha-aret, all the earth, lo ya'aseh mishpat, shall not the judge of all the earth do justly? But here in the Hebrew, it says right here, the judge of all the earth not to do mishpat, judgment, shall not the judge of all the earth, all the land, all the earthly plain, shall he not do judgment? So Abraham said this word right here, and likewise, the idea of reward is also equally meaningless if ha-shofet kol ha-aret, as a judge of all the world, all the earth, simply decreed who was to be a saintly, a chassid, you know, a tzaddik, right, and who was not to be. Indeed, the validity of genuine morality and genuine moral choice is implied in the imperatives like the command words found in scripture. For example, ought, it implies can. As somebody says, you ought to do this, this implies that you can, you have the ability to do. Therefore, free will is paradoxical, so to speak, in light of Ha'el, the Almighty's sovereignty, of course. Though the paradox itself is no reason to negate its truth. So free will is somewhat of a paradox, paradoxical in the light, the illumination of Jah's sovereignty, of course. Though the paradox itself is no reason to negate its truth, to negate the truth. Most people, they want to choose either horn of this dilemma. Now, consider the Calvinism, and the Arminianism, theological controversy, you know, faith and works and all of that. But the truth is that salvation is both about Jah's sovereignty and your responsibility. Again, the truth of the matter concerning salvation, Yeshua, preservation and victory, is both about Jah's sovereignty and your responsibility. Quote, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is Elohim who works in you, for it is Ha'ilahim who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Again, this is Philippians right here, 2, verses 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation with fear, reverence, and trembling, for it is Elohim who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Come, make me discuss and reason on this. Second subject matter here for the Shabbat Re'eh, right, the 47th sabbatical study, comic reasons is the Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for seeing, re'eh, 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 right, or re'ah, some may say re'ah, re'ah, re'eh, and the word for fear or respect, yare, yare, re'ah, yare, it both shares the same Hebraic Afro-Asiatic Afro-Shemitic root. This implies that we cannot genuinely, quote, choose life, end quote, apart from personally seeing it, seen, zine, as I know Rastafari says, seen, zine, is a deep mystical reason for that word sound there, because the Hebrew word for seeing, re'eh, re'eh, ra'eh, ra'eh, right, and the word for reverencing, respecting, fearing, yare, yare, they both share the same Hebrew root. And the implication? The implications here is that we can't genuinely choose life, chayim, lechayim, chayim, life, liberty, apart from personally seeing it, seeing, sight, but we cannot see it apart from the reverence, the respect of Ha-Elohim, the true good, the true God, the creator. The reverence of Ha-Elohim, the creator, sanctifies, sets us apart, and it sanctifies I and I perception, I and I POV, I and I point of view, right? So we can see his face. We can see it face to face. We can see it from his perspective, and it enables us. It enables us, gives us the inner ability to see clearly, seen, sight. Therefore, the righteous, as is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the righteous, the tzaddikim, walk by faith, by emunah, and not by sight. Seen, sight. Come, 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 make we reason. Discussion topic here, number 3 right here. Those who are in relationship with Yahweh, he who be who he be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be he, blessed be the name, through Robeinu Yeshua, Adonainu Yeshua, through Jesus Christ, are given the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, in the role of comforter, Parakletos, who gives us strength to persevere in the midst of the storms, the trials, the tribulations, the ups, the downs, the follies, the mixed up moods, the attitudes of this life, of this liberty. John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 26. John's Gospel chapter 15, verse 26. Nevertheless, the central commandment remains. The central, the article, the central commandment remains. We must itinerantly choose to trust, to credit in Jah's love and grace for our lives, and our lives and liberty. Every step of the way. Jah will never leave you nor forsake you. But he continues to say to those who trust in him, according to the words of the Chazon of Yohanan, Revelation, the vision of John, behold, I stand at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and sup with him and he with me and he with I. Here, here, come, come, come. Make we discuss and give reason on that. Let's reason on the importance of observing the biblical, the Torah, holidays, the holy days, in your life, in my life, in I and I liberty. Do you conscientiously celebrate the feasts, the festivals? Why or why not? So maybe we have a reason, man, twos and threes, and more so on the importance of observing the biblical, the Torah, holy days in our life and in our liberty. And asking each of us, asking ourselves the question, do you consciously celebrate the festivals, the feasts? Why or why not? And the first of all, the feasts and the festivals is the Shabbat, just to put that there for the reason. Lastly but not leastly, it has been said that the only thing, the only thing, the only thing we, I and I, can, quote, take with us, end quote, when we die, they say, is what we have freely given away to others. So come, make a reason, discuss how the laws, the Torah, the direction and instructions of tithing, how do they apply to us, to I and I today? If it is said and if it is true that the only thing that we can take with us when we die or pass away or whatnot is what we have freely, what we have freely given away to others. So make a reason on the laws of tithing and how they apply to us, to I and I today. So here, this brings us more fully right here to this show theme right here, the fifth going into the sixth day right here, looking forward to the thank Jah Rastafari is the Shabbat day. But here, brothers and sisters, we've got 18 minutes right here before we go into the grace period. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, after the order of Malkiah Tzedek. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 76.
Psalm 76. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. 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 Kings of the earth.
Here, today's daily psalm. I'm going to write with the Royal Amharic from the King of Kings Bible first. But here, dubwise, sizzler, the kings of the earth, rhythm, right here. Come on.
መዝሙር 75 በቅንፍ 76 ለመዘምራን አለቃ በበገናዎች ስለ አሶራውያን የአሳፍ ምስጋና መዝሙር። እግዚአብሔር በይሁዳ ታወቀ፣ ስሙም በእስራኤል ላይ ታላቅ ነው። ሥራው በሳሌም ማደሪያውም በጽዮን ነው። በዚያም የቀስትን ኃይል ጋሻን ሰይፍን ሰልፍንም ሰበረ፣ በዚያም ቀንዶችን ሰበረ። አንተ በዘላለም ተራሮች ሆነህ በድንቅ ታበራለህ። ልበ ሰነፎች ሁሉ ደነገጡ፣ እንቅልፋቸውንም አንቀላፉ። ባለጠጎች ሁሉ በእነርሱ እጅ ምንም አላገኙ። ያዕቆብ አምላክ ሆይ ከተግሣጽህ የተነሳ ፈረሰኞች ሁሉ አንቀላፉ። አንተ ግን አንተ ግሩም ነህ። ቁጣህን ማን ይቃወማል? ፍርድህን ከሰማይ አሰማ። ምድር ፈራች ዝምም አለች። ልቤ ውሃን ያድን ዘንድ እግዚአብሔር ለፍርድ በተነሳ ጊዜ ከህሊናቸው ትርፍም በዓልህን ያደርጋሉ። ለአምላካችን ለእግዚአብሔር ስዕለትን ከፈሉ። በዙሪያው ያሉ ሁሉ እጅ መንሻን ለሚያስፈራው ያገባሉ። በዙሪያው ያሉ ሁሉ እጅ መንሻን ለሚያስፈራው ያገባሉ። የመኳንንት ነፍስ ያወጣል፣ በምድርም ነገሥታት ዘንድ ያስፈራል።
Psalm 76. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. As I rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. See thou. Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. 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 Kings of the earth.
Some people still searching for this truth here, which this reggae music, you know, bring Christ to them. And the only purpose it serves is to tell the people about Rastafari.
Lamta, Canine Stalin, today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here after the Order of Melchizedek, the righteous king, Ramawi Kanawi, Haile Selassie, here in the Book of the Seven Seals, the Metzav Kedus, and in the Mezmor Dawit, we have Mezmor Sabah Sidist. Sabah Sidis 76. Gormau le miyas farao amlak ye karave kene. Composition of poem. Present it. The amazing, the awesome. For the amazing and the fearsome, the dreadful source. A composition composed. This psalm is a companion and sequel to the preceding Psalm 75. It arose out of the same circumstances. The theme is common in the Psalter, the Mezmor Dawit, the defeat. The theme is a common theme in the Psalter, in the Sefer Tehillim, Hebraically here in the Mezmor Dawit, the Psalms of Dawit, of David. And that theme is the defeat of Yisrael's foes and enemies. It's a glorification of Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, Egeziah, Beherz, the sustainer of the good, the generous, the open-handed, Father's name. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, we have Mezmor Sabah Sidist, Psalm 76. I hear the superscription. Lemezem rana leka be beginawoch sila asorawiyan ye asaf ye miskana mezmor. Lemezem rana leka. To the chief musician, Bebegenawoch, on the harps. Lamna tseyach, bi neginot, mizmor, li asafa shir. For the leader, the chief musician, with string music upon the harps. Bebegenawoch, sila asorawiyan. Concerning the Assyrians, Asaf, yeah, miskana. Of praise, of thanks and praise, Yemiskana Mezmor, a chant, an intonation, a vocal intonation, Isis, of praise, of Asaf, concerning the Assyrians upon the harp to the chief musician. Kuter An, verse 1. Ekziavi herbe Yehuda Tawak, Simuma be Israel Talakno, in Judah, in Yehuda. Is Egeziah Viher, the sustainer of the good, the generous, the open-handed, our Father known. Egeziah Viher, Be Yehuda, Tawak, Simum, and his name, Simu, his name, Simum, and his name, Be Israel, in Israel, Be Israel, and the man who sees the true good, the true God, Be Israel, Talakno, is great, is important, in Yisrael, and to the man who sees the true good, the true God, Kutar Hulet, Sifrawa be Salem, Adaryawim be Siono. In Salem also is his tabernacle, Sifrao. Bamarinya we have Sifrao, his space, his place, his cipher, Sifrao be Salem, in Salem. Salem is an interesting word, Hebraically speaking. Some say it's an older form of Jerusalem, the city of peace. It has a dual meaning and sense here, right? Peace with Ha Elohim and peace with man, Sifrao Besalem, his cipher, his place in Salem, in Jerusalem, that four-square peace, the true cross, peace with Exiavihar, peace of man, Sifrao, Besalei, Maderia, Wimbet, Ion, and his dwelling place, Maderia. Maderia, dwelling place, Maderiao. Maderiao, his dwelling place, Maderiaum. And his dwelling place, Maderiaum, Bet-Sion-no. In Sion, it is. And his dwelling place in Zion. Kutar-Sos, verse 3. Beziyam-yek estin-hayil, Gashan-seifin, Salif-nim-sebre. Beziyama kendochinna sebre. Veya, beziyam, and there, bezia, there, beziyam, and there. Yek estin hail. There break he the arrows of the bow, bamarinya. Beziyam, and there, yek estin hail, the power, the hail of the bow. Gashan seifin, selfnim sebre. Gashan. Gashan, the shield, Seifin, safe, sword, Seifin, the sword, and the battle, Selah. Gashan, Seifin, Selfinim, Sabre, Beziamak, and Dochina, Sabre. Interesting the read that we have here in the Metzav Kedus, in the Book of the Seven Seals, for this verse right here, this third verse. Then here we have another diversion from the ancient, right, from the ancient reading of today's daily psalm, Psalm 76. There he broke the might of the bows, the shield, and the broad sword, and war. Salif-nim sebre, he broke it. Beziyam and Veya, Kendochinna sebre, and there, the horns, the kendoch, Kendochin sebre, Beziyam, Kendochin sebre, and there he broke the horns. Selah, pause. Kutar Arat, verse 4. Ante, Bezalalem Taro Chahone, Bedika Tabrale. Thou, the eye, art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Ante, the eye, speaking to he who be, who he be, directly. Ante, bezalalem tararo chahone. By way of the eternal mountains, I be, bedink tabrale, bedink. In amazing, wonderful, amazing, bedink tabrale, tabrale. The eye shines, the eye shines forth, taberale, amazingly. Give light, you wonderfully, from mountains, the eternal, you give light, taberale, bedink, amazingly, wonderfully, taberale, the eye gives light, the eye shines, you. Give light, the eye, ante, ante, wonderfully from the eternal mountains, the eye gives light. Kutel Amis, verse 5. Libe senefocha hulu de negatu. Inak lifachu neman kalafu balet egocha hulu benersu ija minim alagenyu. Minim alagenyu. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. Libe. The heart of Senefoch, the fools, the spiritually, ritually lazy, Senefoch, hulu the negatu, they are in a mental state of shock. The hearts, the minds of the foolish, the spiritual lazy, all of them are in a mental state of shock. They have slept their sleep. In Kalifachuanim, an Kalafu. They have slept their sleep. In Kalifachuanim, an Kalafu. Baletegoch, hulu, venersuich, a minimal agenu. And no one of the men of might, Here we have Baletegoch, those who have riches, the rich, those who are rich, those who possess riches, all of the ones who possess riches, balat egoch hulu, venersu ij in their hand, venersu ij in their hand, minimalagenu. Nothing have they found, and none of the men of might in the sense of wealth and power, none of the men of might, of wealth and power have found their hands, in their hands, minimalagenu. Libes and a fort hulu the negato in Kalafachu Neman Kalafu Balategocho hulu Venersuija Minimalagenu Kutar Sidis, verse 6. Ye Yaiko Bamlakoi Kategasat Yetanesa Feres Senyot hulu Anna Kalafu at thy rebuke. O source of Yaakov, yeah, Yaakov Amlakoi, yeah, Yaakov Amlakoi, O source, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. Due to your rebuke, Feresenyoch hulu an kelafu Feresenyoch. Here we have the sense of the chariot and the charioteers, all of them, Feresenyoch, the chariot and the horse, hulu, all of them an kelafu are sleep, cast into a deep sleep. Uter sebat, verse 7. Antegin, antegrunne. Kutahinna mana yik awamal, mana yik awamal, thou the I, ante, speaking to he who be, we be directly, ante, the I, ante gin, however the I, but the I, ante gin, ante the I, groom, wonderful, majestic, garmawi groom, garmawi hoy, ante groomne, the I are. To be reverence, and KJV says, thou, even thou, art to be feared. Bamarinya ante gin ante grumne, but the I, male, ante grumne, the I art majestic, ante grumne, kutahin, and the I anger, kutahin, mana yikawamal, yikawamal, to stand, he to stand, man, who is he to stand, who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry, kutah cement. Verse 9. Ferdina kasamai asemah midara farach zimimalech. Thou discourse judgment. Ferda kasamai asemah. Thou discourse judgment to be heard kasamai from heaven. Ferdina kasamai asemah midara farach. The earth she feared. Midr farach. She, the earth, feared, zimimalech, and was still, and was zim, and was quiet, zim, zimimalech, kutar zetain, verse 9, libe ye wahanina yadin zen, egziyavihir lefurda yet betanesa gize, libe ye wahanin yadin zen, Egziyavihar le furda betanesagize when Egziyavihar, sustaining the good, the generous, open-handed, our Father, arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah, pause. Libe Yewahanin, all the innocent in heart, heartical. Libe Yewahanin, Yadin, to save. Yadinzen, to save all the upright of heart. Libe Yewahanin, Yadinzen, Egeziavihar, sustainer. The good, the generous, open-handed, our Father. Le Furd Betanesagize, for judgment in the time, Betanesagize, in the time that he arose. Kutarasa, verse 10. So, befekadu, ya mesugin halinna, kahilina choa terfima, be alhinna yadargalu. Surely, the wrath of man shall praise thee, I. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. So man, befekadu, by his will, in his will, man, in his will, yamesagin halina, will praise, will give miskana to the I, male. So befekadu, yamesagin halina, kahilina cho tarfima, bealhina yadargalu. Interesting to read that we have here. Right. In this particular verse right here, just looking at the Septuagint as we compare and contrast right here. For the inner thought, the will of man, shall make acknowledgement, miskana, praise to the I. And what is left of the inner thought shall keep a feast to the I. So befekadu ya mesaginna halina kahilina chotarfil be alhinna yadergalu. Kahilina cho helina, the helina, the inner thought, the conscience, some say the helina, kahilina cho, the inner thought, terfim, and the remainder of the inner thought, and from the remainder of the inner thought, kahilina cho terfim, be'alhinna yadergalu, shall keep a feast to the eye. Uter Asra Asraan, verse 11. Lam lakachin legziavi hersil letina kafelu. Bezriyao yalu ulu ija menshana lemiyasferau ya gabalu. Vow, vow. And pay to the Lord your God, lam latachin, to our source, let egeziavi, here is the sustainer, to the good, the generous, open-handed father, si'ilet, si'ilet, the vow, si'iletina, kefelu, kefelu, kefelu. Pay the vow, pay the vow. Le amlakachin, to our source, le egeziaria, to sustainer, siletina kefelu. Bezriyao yalu luijimenshana lemiyasarawa yagabalu. Let all that be round about him bring presents to him that ought to be feared, that ought to be respected, that ought to be reverence. Let me ask Pharaoh, Yagabalu, Kutel Asra Hulet, verse 12. Ye mekwanintina nessa yawetal, the midrima negestata zen yasafaral. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible, awesome, awful to the kings of the earth. Ye mekwanintin nessa yawatal. Ye mekwanint. This is the same word we have where it says, princes shall come out of Egypt. Ye mekwanintin the nes, the soul, the psyche of princes, of mekonins, mekwanints, yawatal, going forward. Bemidrimma, and in the earth, and negestata zen, and through the kings of the earth. To the kings of the earth, Yas Faral. To the kings of the earth, he is terrible. He causes reverence, respect. He is terrible to the kings of the earth.
Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth. Kings of the earth.
Let them dance, Jaja. Rastafari, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of himself, mighty and thunder, rebel exhibit, master gone, Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
Psalm 76. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield and the sword and the battle. Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth.
Mazmur Savamus Bakanif Sabatidis Lamazamran Aleka Babaganawich Tele Asorawian Yasafi Misganamus. እግዚአብሔር በይሁዳ ታወቀ سموم بسرائيل لاي تالاكنا سراو بسالين ما دريعون بتيوانا بزيام يكستن هايل غاشان سيفن سلفن مسبر بزيام كندوچن سبر انت بزلالم تراروچ هونه بدن كتابر عالي لب سنفوچ كلو دنگتو انقلفات شونم مانقلافو بالت اگوچ هلو بنرسو اجمنم مالاگن يا قبا ملاك هوي كتكسات اهيتنسا فرسنوچ هلو انقلافو انتگن انتگرومن قط اهن ماني قاومال فردهن كسماي السما مدر فراج زم مالك لبه وحن يادن زند اكزياد هير لفرد بثان الساقزي كهلين اچو ترفم بآلهن يادر قالو لاملاكات چنل اكزياد هير سئلتن كفتلو بزوريو يادلو هلو جمن شان لم ياسفرهو ياقبالو بزوريو يادلو هلو جمن شان لم ياسفرهو ياقبالو يمكوان انتن نفس ياوت آل بمدرم نقستاف زند ياسفرهو
Here, today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Malachi, Edek, we have Mizmor, Ain, Wow, Ain, Wow, Ain, Wow, Ain, Wow, Ain, Wow. Here, today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here, after the order of Malachi, Edek, we have Mizmor, Ain, Wow, Ain, Wow, Ain, Vav. Ain Wow. Here. Psalm 76. Psalm LXXVI. Mizmor Ain Wow. Mizmor Ain Vav. Ain Wow. Here. A Midrash. A study on today's daily psalm. Here. Verses 1 to 2. For the leader with string music. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. Here. Opening parts of the first and second verses from Mizmor Ain, Wow, Mizmor Ain Vav, Mizmor Ain, Wow. Lanatzeach, Bi en Ginot, Mizmor Le Asaf, Shir. Noda'a, Bi Yehuda Elohim, Bi Yisrael Gadol Shemo. Here, full of verse, for the leader, for the chief musician. Lanatzeach, 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 Bi en Ginot. On the Nigi note, Bingi note, B and Nigi note, with string music. Lanatzeach, B and Nigi note, Mizmor Le Asaf Shir. Mizmor, a chant, Isis, a song. Mizmor Le Asaf, of Asaf. Mizmor Le Asaf Shir. Shir, a song. Here, Hebraically the Beit. This is the Beit verse coming forward. That is the Aleph verse, the first verse, according to the Sefer Tehillim, Hebraically the first verse. Lamnatzeach, be in the ginot, Mizmor le'asaf shir. Here, the Beit, the second verse, which would be the first verse in the English Western Gentile Bible, especially the KJV, but Hebraically the second verse, the Beit verse. Noda, be Yehuda Elohim, be Yisrael gadol shemo, in Judah. Is Elohim known? In Yehuda, is Elohim known? Noda'a, noda'a, to be known, noda'a. Be Yehuda Elohim. Noda'a, be Yehuda Elohim. Be Yisrael Gadol, Shemo. His name, Shemo, is great, Gadol, in Israel. Be Yisrael, the Yisrael, noda'a, be Yehuda Elohim. Be Yisrael Gadol Shemo. Here, these words are to be considered in the light, in the illumination of the verse, even the verse from Hosea, from Hosea chapter 5, verse 9, the verse, after Ephraim became desolate in the day of rebuke, I made known my integrity among the tribes of Israel. Here, Hosea, chapter 5, verse 9. after Ephraim became desolate in the day of rebuke, I made known my integrity among the tribes of Israel. Ephraim, Leshama Tihye, Biyom Tokeha, Bi Shivate Israel, Hodaiti Nemana. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Ephraim, Leshama Tihye, Biyom Tokeha. Among the tribes of Israel do I make known that which shall surely be. B'shivate Yisrael, B'shivate Yisrael, Hoda'iti, I cause to make known, Ne'emana, Ne'emana, mine integrity or integrity, Ne'emana, 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 that which is Aman, that which is integritus, integrity. Thus here, in the Sefer Midrash Tehillim, in the Midrash of the Psalter, it reads, after Ephraim became desolate in the day of rebuke, Tokecha, Tokecha, Biyom Tokecha, their rebuke, I made known, Hoda'iti, integrity, integrity, Ne'emana, Ne'emana, among the tribes of Israel, among the Shivtei, B'Shivtei Yisrael, Ephraim Alishama Tehiyeh, Biyom Tokecha, B'Shivtei Yisrael, Hoda'iti, Ne'emana. When the 10 tribes of Ephraim were being exiled, Yehuda and Benjamin, Judah and Benjamin were not exiled. When the 10 tribes of Ephraim were being exiled, Judah and Benjamin were not exiled. Hence, the Goye Haaretz, the nations, the Gentiles, the international community, the nations of the earth, the Goye Haaretz, began to say, this can only mean that Elohim is like a man who plays favorites. The Gentiles, the nations of the earth, began to say, when the 10 tribes of Ephraim were being exiled, Yehuda and Benjamin, Judah and Benjamin were not exiled. So the Goye Haaretz, the nations of the earth, began to say, this can only mean that Ha Elohim is like a man who plays favorites. Because Judah and Benjamin, Yehuda and Benjamin, are the keepers of his inn. Ha Elohim did not exile them. And here, Midrash note on what the nations of the earth, the Goye Haaretz, said, that this can only mean because Judah and Benjamin were not exiled, that Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, Ha Elohim, the power, is like a man who plays favorites. Why? Because Yehuda and Benjamin are the keepers of his inn. So here, his inn. This is in reference to Ha Heikal, the temple, the Beit Mikdash, the house of the holy that was in Yerushalayim, that was in Jerusalem. So the inn, the nations of the earth, referring to Ha Heikal, the temple, the Beit Mikdash, that is in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, as his inn. Inn is here a term of insult. So they're saying that Judah and Benjamin are the keepers of his inn. His inn is here a term of insult. Why? Lamaze? Because of the ill repute of inns in antiquity. So because of the ill repute of inns in antiquity, like inns being dens, so to speak, of iniquity in ancient antiquity, and they had a bad reputation, ill repute, ill rep. So the nations of the earth referred to Ha Heikal, to the Beit Mikdash, to the house of the Isla, the house of the holy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, as being an inn. So here, when the 10 tribes of Ephraim were being exiled, Judah and Benjamin were not exiled. Hence, the nations of the earth, the Goye Haaretz, began to say, this can only mean that Ha Elohim, that Ha Elohim, is like a man who plays favorites, because Yehuda, Benjamin, Judah and Benjamin are the keepers of his inn. Ha Elohim did not exile them. But once they, Judah and Benjamin, too, were exiled. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, made His integrity, His integrity known to the world. As is said, I have made known my integrity, Ne'emana, among the tribes of Israel, among the tribes of Shivtei, B'Shivtei Yisrael. And here from Hosea, chapter 5, Hebraically, verse 9, hear. Ephraim, Leshama Tehiyeh, Biyoma Tokeha, B'Shivtei Yisrael, Hoda'iti, Ne'emana, Hodaiti Nemana. I made known Nemana, my integrity. Or some translators translate this as that which that surely shall be, the Nemana, Amene, linguist the Amen, let it be, to become, faithful, surety. But here also integrity. Be Shivate Israel Hodaiti Nemana. I have made known Hodaiti Nemana. Integrity, my integrity, Nemana, b'shivtei Yisrael, among the tribes of Yisrael, thereupon, here, in the opening of today's psalm, in Judah is Elohim known. His name is great in Israel, here. Noda'a, b'Yehuda Elohim. Yisrael Dadol Shemo. In Yehuda, Bi Yehuda, in Yehuda is Elohim known. Noda, Bi Yehuda Elohim. His name, Shemo, is great, Gadol, in Israel. Bi Yisrael Dadol Shemo. Noda, Bi Yehuda Elohim. Bi Yisrael Dadol Shemo. Rav Yehuda, Rav Judah, taught in the name of Rav Eli, when the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, stood at the Yam, Hayam, at the Yam Suf, at the Red Sea, the Etzra Bahir, the Eritrean Sea, they stayed there, disputing one with the other. One said, must I go down first into Hayam, into the sea? And the other said, must I go down first into Hayam, into the sea? Meantime, Nachshon, son of Aminadab, jumped into the waves of the sea, and it came over him. Here, Midrash. A Midrash note right here, in link with, meantime, Nachshon, the son of Aminadab, jumped into the waves of Hayam, the waves of the sea. Here, the Midrash note here for today's psalm, Mizmor Ein Wow, Ein Vav, Psalm 76. Here we have the Midrash note that, and he, speaking of Nachshon, the son of Aminadab, he was followed by the entire tribe of Yehuda, by the entire tribe of Judah, the Mate Yehuda, the entire tribe of Judah. At this, Moses began to pray. So in the meantime, when Nachshon, the son of Aminadab, jumped into the waves of Hayam, of the sea, and it came over him, it overcame him, at this, Moses began to pray. Even in the words of Psalm 69, Hebraically, the second to third verse, here, Moshe began to pray. Save me, O Elohim, for the waters are come in to my soul. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. Where the floods overflow, I. Hosha'ini Elohim, ki yavau amayim ad nafesh, tavati v'wein mitzula v'ein ma'omad. Bati v'emaimake mayim v'eshivoleta shetavatni. Moshe began to pray, save me, save I, O Elohim. Hosha'ini Elohim, Hoshi'a ani, Hoshi'aini, Elohim, ki avau amayim ad nafesh, for the waters, the mayim, are come, vau, and even to the soul, ki avau mayim ad nafesh, I am sunk in deep mire where there is no standing, kava'iti bi'arein, mitzula wa'ein ma'omad. I am come into deep waters, and the flood overwhelmeth me. The flood overwhelmeth I. Ve shivolet shitafatni. Hoshaini Elohim ki vau amayim ad nafesh. Tava iti yabi yewena mitzula weena ma'omada. Baiti, bea ma imakei mayim, wishivoleta shitafatni. Hakadosh, Baruku, the Holy One, the Isla One, the Sanctified, the Set Apart One, Baruku, blessed be He, said to Moses, my beloved are perishing in the sea, and thou, the eye, tarriest at prayer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eye of the One. Blessed be he, said to Moshe, my beloved are perishing in Hayam, in the sea. And thou, the Eye tarries at prayer, the Eye tarries at tefillah. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael that they go forward. Hear, hear, hear. Shemot, Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the Israelites, that they go forward. And here, here, the fuller verse here from Shemot, from Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. Here, the fuller verse, verse 15. Vayomer Yahuel Moshe, ma titzak elai, daber el Bnei Yisrael, ve yis'o. And Jehovah, he who be, we be, said to Moses, to Moshe, Vayomer Yahuel il Moshe, wherefore, why, for what criest thou to me? Why, what shriekest thou? Ma titzak. Ma titzak, ma titzak, ma what titzak, titzak, shriekest, ma titzak, elai, elai, upon eye to eye, why criest, shriekest thou to eye, ma titzak, elai, daver, daver, speak, daver, il bnei Yisrael, speak to the sons of Israel, daver il bnei Yisrael, we yisao, ve yisao, we yisao, we yisao, yisao, that they go forward, we yisao, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch HaShem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, said to Moses, to Moshe, my beloved ones are perishing in Hayam, in the sea, and thou the eye tarriest at prayer, speak, speak, daber, daber il bnei Yisrael, we yisao, speak to the sons of Israel, to the Israelites, that they go forward with Yisao, with Yisao, with Yisao, that they go forward, forward ever. Hence, the verse, even the verse here, here, here in today's daily Psalm, Mizmor Ein, Wow, Ein Vav, Psalm 76, in Judah is Elohim known, Shemo Gadol, his name is great, in Yisrael. Hear, hear, hear. Noda bi Yehuda Elohim. Bi Yisrael Gadol Shemo. Noda known bi Yehuda in Yehuda Elohim. Elohim is known in Yehuda. Noda bi Yehuda Elohim. Bi Yisrael in Israel. Bi Yisrael Gadol Shemo. Gadol, great, big up. Gadol Shemo. His name Shemo. Noda'a bi Yehuda Elohim, bi Yisrael Gadol Shemo. This means that Shemo, Shemo, his name, the Hashem, the name, Shemo, became great in call Yisrael, the call Yisrael, in all Yisrael. For Moshe said to Ha Elohim, to Chaylehim, in that hour, that Iowa, when thou, the I, didst deal mercifully with the tribe of Yehuda, with the tribe of Judah, it was as if thou hast dealt mercifully with all Israel, with all Israel, since Israel, Israel, is also known by the name of Yehuda, since Israel is also known by the name of Judah, 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 Judah.
Lion of Judah shall break every chain.
Mizmor Ayin Vav, Lamnatseach Binginot, Mizmor Leasaf Shir. Noda Bihuda Elohim, Beyisrael Gadol Shemo, Vayihi Veshalem Sukko, Onato Vetzion. Shamma Shibbar Rishfekashet, Magen Veherev Umilhama Sela. Naor Atta Adir, Meharere Taref. Eshtolelu abire lev, namu shenatam, velo matzu chol anshe hayil yedehem. Migaratecha Elohe Yaakov, nirdam verechev vasus. אתה נורא אתה, ומי יעמוד לפניך מאז אפיך, משמיים השמעת דין, ארץ יראה ושקעת, בקום למשפט אלוהים, להושיע כל עם וארץ סלע. כי חמת אדם תודקה, שארית חמות תחגור, נדרו ושלמו לאדוני אלוהיכם כל סביביו, יובילו שי למורה, יבצור רוח נגידים, נורא למלכי ארץ.
Another comment on, in Judah is Elohim known. His name is great in Yisrael, in Israel. Noda'a, bi Yehuda Elohim, bi Yisrael, gadol, shema, gadol, shema. Gadol. Why did the tribe of Judah, of Yehuda, merit the kingship? Lamaze, why? Minyanim, why did the tribe, the Mate Yehuda, the Shibte Yehuda, why did the tribe of Judah merit the kingship? In the shade of the dovecote in Jamnia, the disciples, the Talmudim, the disciples ask this very question of Rav Tarfon. Just why did the tribe of Judah merit the kingship? He replied, it was because Yehuda, Judah, confessed to his relations with Tamar. Hear, hear, hear. Midrash, a Midrash note right here, 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 on today's psalm, on Mizmor Ein Wow. Mizmor Ein Vav, Mizmor Ein Wow. Psalm 76, here, here, here. Refer to Genesis Bereshis, chapter 38, Bereshis, Genesis, chapter 38, for more on the reply of Rav Tarfon to this very question, just why did the tribe of Judah merit the kingship? It was because Yehuda, Judah, confessed to his relations with Tamar. Ha Talmudim, the disciples said, it is compensation enough that his confession was accepted as atonement for illicit intercourse. Ha Talmudim, the disciples said, it is compensation enough that his confession was accepted as atonement for illicit intercourse. Rav Tarfon then replied, it was because Yehuda, Judah said, according to Bereshit, according to Genesis, Genesis chapter 37, verse 26, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Here, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 37, here, verse 26. Vayomer Yehuda, illa echav, illa chayo, ma betza, ki nahrog, eta achinu, v'ksinu eta damo. And Judah said, Vayomer Yehuda, to his brethren, illa echav, illa chayo, Vayomer Yehuda illa chayo, ma betza, what profit, ma betza, ki nahirog, if we slay, ki nahirog, eta achinu, if we slay our brother achinu, ki nahirog eta achinu, and conceal his blood? Vikasino etamo, and conceal his blood. Vayomer Yehuda, illa echayo, ma betza, kia nahroga etachinua, vikasino etamo. They said, it is compensation, Ha Talmudim said, it is compensation enough that the saving of a life was accepted as kapar, kippur, as atonement for the sale of a brother into slavery. It is compensation enough that the saving of a life was accepted as atonement as for the sale of a brother into slavery. Rav Tarfon replied to Ha Talmudim, to the disciples, it was because Yehuda, because Judah said,
in the words of Bereshith, Genesis chapter 44, verse 33. Now, therefore, let thy servant, I pray that I, abide instead of the lad. Now, therefore, make thy servant, I pray that I, abide instead of the lad. Ve'ata yashevna avdecha tachata hana'ara eveda la'adoni ve'hana'ara ya'ala ima echav. Hear. Bereshith, Genesis chapter 44, verse 33. Now, therefore, let make thy servant, I pray thee, abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, la Adoni, we'ata, and now, we'ata, yashevna, abide, to stay, to be seated, to be sat up, yashevna, ve'ata yashevna, abdeka tachata hana'ara, eveda la Adoni. Now, therefore, make thy servant abdeka, I pray thee, I abide, yashevna, instead of the lad, tachat hana'ar, instead of hana'ar, the na'ar, the lad, tachata hana'ar, instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, Ebed la Adoni, and make the lad go up with his brethren. With Hanara Ya'ala Ima Echayo. With Ata Yashebna Abdekata Hata Hanara Evedla Adoni. With Hanara Ya'ala Ima Echayo. They, Ha Talmudim, the disciples said, it is required of a guarantor that he stand by his guarantee. Ha Talmudim, in response to Rav Tarfon's reply, saying that it was because Yehuda, according to the words of Bereshith, Genesis chapter 44, verse 33, where he says, now, therefore, make thy servant Abdeka, I pray that I abide instead of the lad, Ha Talmudim, the disciples said, it is required of a guarantor that he stand by his guarantee. And here, a midrash note right here on this point, standing by his guarantee. Judah became surety, a pledge, surety for Binyamin, for Benjamin. Referred to Bereshith, Genesis chapter 44, verse 32. Here, Yehuda, this is to bring out the point that the disciples made, HaTalmudim, when they said that it's required of a guarantor that he stand by his guarantee. Judah became surety for Binyamin, for Benjamin, according to Bereshith, Genesis chapter 44, verse 32. Rav Tarfon then asked HaTalmudim, then asked the disciples, if what you say is true, Emet, then by virtue of what good deed did the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Yehuda, merit the kingship? By what good deed did the tribe of Yehuda merit the kingship? They, HaTalmudim, answered, it was because the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Judah, leaped first into the waves of Hayam, of the sea. It was because the tribe of Judah, of Yehuda, leaped first into the waves of the sea. With all the tribes standing there, and not one of them going down into Hayam, not one of them going down into the sea, one tribe saying, must I go down first? And the other tribe saying, must I go down first? The tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Judah, hallowed, sanctified, set apart, Ilified the name Hashem of HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, of the Holy One, the Isle One, the sanctified, set apart one, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, and went down into Hayam, went down into the sea, into the Etrabahir, into the Bahir, went down into the sea. Hence, hear, the verse, even the verse from Hosea, from Hosea chapter 12, verse 1, that reads, But Judah, moreover, went down with God. V'Yehuda od rad im el. Hear. This translation here from the Sefer Midrash Tehillim brings out this verse here from Hosea, brings out the verse from Hosea 12 and 1, but Yehuda, moreover, went down with El. Here, looking at the Hebrew, from the Hebrew translation, and Judah is yet wayward towards El. Hear, hear, hear. Let's bring this out here. We Yehuda, we Yehuda, we Yehuda, we Yehuda, Oda Ra Da'im, El. And here in the KJV, in the King James Version, this verse is found in Hosea chapter 11 at verse 12. Chapter 11, verse 12, the verse here, final part of the verse that reads, But Judah, Yehuda, but Judah yet ruleth with God. Is elsewhere translated as, but Judah, Yehuda, moreover, went down with God. And here, and Judah is yet wayward towards God. The Hebrew, we Yehuda, od, rad, im, el. Here, KJV has, but Judah yet ruleth with el, the Almighty, with ha'el, el. Yehuda yet ruleth with el. We Yehuda, od, rad, im, el. And here on this particular verse, once again found in the King James Version in Hosea chapter 11 at verse 12, Hebraically found in chapter 12 at verse 1. Here. Let's first touch on this. One translation, waywards towards el. Yehuda, Judah, sinful like Ephraim, will share his fate. The AV, the Authorized Version, and the RV, the Revised Version of the Bible, translate in a complementary sense. But Judah, Yehuda, we Yehuda, yet ruleth with God. But Yehuda, yet ruleth with God. We Yehuda, od, rad, im, el. And is faithful with the Holy One, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, with the Holy One. Here, in the Authorized Version of the KJV, the Authorized Version, it would read it as, and is faithful with the Holy One or with the saints. In the KJV, in the Authorized Version, with the saints, bringing out the Hebraic sense, and Judah yet ruleth with El, the Almighty Power, and is faithful with HaKadosh, with the Holy One. Some say that neither rendering is satisfactory. Thus, we have this verse that is often debated upon as to what is its true, proper interpretation, translation. Here, the Hebrew, we Yehuda, we Yehuda, we Yehuda, od, rad, im, el. And the im, el, is like imanu, imanu, imanu in the Hebrew, with us, imanu, with, nu, with us, imanu, im, with, Imanu El, that El, the power, the Almighty, the power is with us. The true good, the true God is with us. The best explanations that proposed by Ehrlich, some say. The verb rad, as we have in We Yehuda, od, rad. The verb, the Hebrew verb rad, means to roam. We have this in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31, Aim is translated towards, some say, meaning possessing. This is brought out in Psalm LXXIII and 25. In Psalm 73 and 25. And the word for faithful is rendered established in 1 Shmuel chapter 3, verse 20. So the meaning of the clause is, but Yehuda, but Judah roams, but Judah rad, roams in search of a deity, yet has El, yet is Im, El, is with El, even the Most High, who has proved true, even the Most High, who has proved true. So here the King James Version translates the second portion of verse 12 in Hosea chapter 11, verse 12, but Judah yet ruleth with El, and is faithful with the saints. Here, a more Hebraic bring out of the meaning of the verse, but Judah roams, the idea of roaming in search of a deity. Yet, im el, is with God, as we have in Immanuel, that El is with us. Yehuda, im el, has El, is with El, even the Most High who has proved true. So here, bringing this out from the Hebrew, we Yehuda, od rad im el, we im kedoshim neman, and toward the Holy One, kedoshim, also can be translated as the saints, the set-apart ones, the kedoshim, v'im kedoshim ha-ne'eman, and towards and with the Holy One, ne'eman, who is faithful, and with the kedoshim, with the saints, ne'eman, ne'eman, faithful, v'im kedoshim ne'eman. V'yehuda, od rada, im ela, v'im kedoshim ne'eman. So here to bring out the Midrash sense here, hence the verse, but Yehuda, Judah, moreover, went down, rad, from yarad, yarad, to descend. So now bringing out that sense of the word rad, in a sense of to descend, to go down from yarad, we Yehuda, odarada imael, and moreover, Yehuda, Judah, went down, descended with air, with the power, that is, Yehuda, Judah, surrendered to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He, and hallowed, and eilified, made holy, set apart, sanctified, eilified, Hashem, Hashem, the name of HaKadosh, of the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, and went down into Hayam, went down into the sea, and by this good deed merited the kingship, and by this good deed merited the kingship. As is said even in the 114th Psalm, he breaks the second verse, Psalm 114, verse 2, Yehuda, Judah was his hallowing, his sanctifying. Yisrael, Israel, is his dominion. Haita, Yehuda, likadsho, Yisrael, mama shilotav. Judah became his sanctuary, elsewhere translated and brought out as Judah, Yehuda, became his sanctuary. Haita, Yehuda, likadsho. Here in the Midrash brought out as Yehuda, Judah, was his hallowing, was his sanctifying, was his setting apart, his hallowing, eilifying. Haita, Yehuda likadsho, Yisrael, mam shilotayo, Yisrael, mam shilotayo. Here, the fuller verse, Yehuda, Judah became, haita can be to become, haita in a sense was, the context is important, was, became, his hallowing, his eilifying, or his sanctuary, kadisho, likadisho, for him was for a sanctuary, a holy place, haita, Yehuda, likadisho, Yisrael, Israel, mam shilotav, his dominion, ancient pointing, mam shilotayo, Yisrael, mam shilotayo. Because the tribe of Yehuda, of Judah, was the first to go down into Hayam, into the sea, for the hallowing, the setting apart, the eilifying, the sanctifying of Ha'el, of the true God, of the Almighty Power. Therefore, the Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, became Yehuda's, Judah's dominion. And so, in Judah is Elohim known. Shemo, his name, Gadol, great, be Yisrael. In Israel, it means that the name, the Shem, the Hashem, the name of Yehuda, of Judah, is the greatest in Israel.
Lion of Judah shall break every chain.
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun. Splendor to the sun. Splendor to the sun. An exalted power to the lion. 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 In his divine being to the kings of Israel. Divine being to the kings of Israel. To the kings of Israel. To the kings of Israel. And at times, to God. And at times, to God. And at times, to God himself. Himself. Himself.
Being spread all over another country, another way of thinking. I also heard that you eating is also kosher eating. I mean, you're not eating pork and things like that, you know.
Are you Jewish?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Rasta.
I don't understand. Well, I am Rasta with you.
So it's the same tradition as for the...
The lion of a tribe of Judah.
Hmm.
That must be Jew. Judah. What's from Jew? I was classed as Judah.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Chaberim. Shalom. So here we have Mizmor, Psalm chant, Mizmor, Ein Vav, or some say Ein Vav. Modern Jews pronounce it as Ein Vav, but Ein Vav, Wawe. Ein Vav, today's daily psalm. Elohim, triumphant. The theme is Elohim triumphant, and today's daily psalm is a psalm that reads in the opening. Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Chaberim. Shalom. So here we have Mizmor, psalm chant, Mizmor, Ein Vav, or some say Ein Vav. Modern Jews pronounce it as Ein Vav, but Ein Vav, Wawen, Ein Vav, today's daily psalm. Elohim triumphant. The theme is Elohim triumphant, and today's daily psalm is a psalm that reads in the opening word sound. In Yehuda. Somebody say Yahuda. We're going to touch on what is the meaning of Yehuda. Why is Judah in Hebrew properly pronounced Yehuda and not Yahuda, as coming from the Western Gentile, coming from out of Babylon, as many ones and ones begin to start to study the scripts and come across even the Jah name and the Yah in the scripture, Hallelujah, and the Yah name, and some of the speculations and reasonings and studies and assumptions of what the name or the enunciation of the Hashem is, there has been this custom practice or doing to say Yahuda. I thought to actually just do a vlog just on that right there, and perhaps that's something that we need to touch on just maybe after we get into some of the basics, getting some of the basics of today's daily psalm right here. Why is Yehuda? Because there's some other transliterations, some of the Chaberim know about some of the other sites. I think we have them linked at the RastafariFoundation.org, as well as just points of reference outsource sites where ones and ones with the Talmudim, fellow disciples, the Tekhem Zamorit, the Chaberim can also refer to, also points of reference for I and I as well. And in a few of them, they also kind of repoint the Hebrew, for example, in the name Yehuda to read Yahuda, right? And why properly, correctly, it is Yehuda. Now, is there a Yahuda in that sense? Well, according to the Hebrew, the name Judah, Yehuda, means celebrated, praised. It's like the sense of saying someone is praised or someone is celebrated, or celebrated praise. And it's because of the experience of the matriarch, Leah, who said, right, that now she shall praise Yahuwah, Jehovah, Yahuwah. She's going to praise because of the birth, and corresponding with that birth of that fourth, her fourth Bane, her fourth Ben, the fourth son, Ban, and that fourth son, Yehuda, right? Praise, Yehuda, right? From the root, right? The Hebraic root of the Hoda, right? We have Yehuda from the Hebraic root of Hoda. So let's touch on this right here just briefly and hopefully be able to present a vlog where we can have a little bit more of the points of reference, you know, brought forward writ large, ones can look and see and also look up for themselves. So we have Yehuda, celebrated, Yehuda. We have the name spelled out in the English sometimes as J-E-H-U-D-A-H, J-E, for the Y, right? The Y sound, the Y sound. Now, some would debate whether it's the Y or the Yah, right? Because in their estimation, it is Jahuda, it's not Yehuda, right? Now, this points to the question of Hebrew, right, and true Hebrew, not just a selected word right here, but how this word, right here, or this name, this noun, this name here is a part of Hebraic speech. This is a part of Hebraic speech. So we can't just lift one word or one name that was in the speech, in the context of the language, made sense, not just as a name, but also as a word sound, as a part of speech. It must be consistent, right? It must be consistent. So there is a pointing. There are vowels, right? There are at least seven vowel sounds, right, within the Hebrew, primary vowel sounds. So there's a lot of wrong assumptions, right, coupled with some overzealousness and fanaticalness and zeal, right? It's one to have a zeal, like the Israelites have a zeal. The Israelites have a zeal for Elohim, for God, for the true good, but it's not according to knowledge. So getting the da'at, right? The da'at on the name of Yehuda. What is the knowledge of the name Yehuda? Why do we say Yehuda properly and not Yahuda? Now, for those who might have adopted the Yahuda or even as a name, so be it, right? So be it, but this is just for one's consideration, right? So Yehuda, the H3063. So the opening verse here in today's daily psalm, Noda, Bihuda Elohim, Noda, Bihuda Elohim, Be Yisrael Gadol Shemo. And Judah and Yehuda is Elohim, Noda is Elohim known, Noda from the Hebrew Yada, to know, Noda, to be known, Noda, Bihuda Elohim, Be Yisrael Gadol Shemo. And Judah and Yehuda is Elohim known, Be Yisrael in Israel, Be Yisrael in Yisrael, Gadol Shemo, great, Gadol, great, big, important, Gadol Shemo. His name is great. His name is important. Be Yisrael, in Yisrael, in Israel. So here we have a declaration of HaElohim, the true good, the true God, his majesty in the Kahal, the Kehillah, in the church, in the wilderness, as Kedus Estefano, St. Stephen in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, brought out right there. The church in the wilderness, right? That church, that kahal, why kahal, the kahal, the kehillah, the called out to kahal, to convocate, to call out, right? Being called out, the outcalling, ekalio, ecclesia. So Elohim's majesty, a declaration of Elohim's majesty in the church. We have this opening verse right here, which is Elohim's majesty to the chief musician, lamnat seyach, to the overcomer. On Niginot, B Niginot, Mizmor Le Asaf Shir, a song of Asaf, Le Asaf, of Asaf. In Judah, Elohim known, his name great in Yisrael, Noda'a, Bihuda Elohim, Be Yisrael, Gadol Shemo. Opening verse right here, proclaiming Elohim's victory, Elohim's salvation, Elohim's preservation, Elohim's victory, his victory in Zion, in Zion, his victory in Zion. So here, the opening verse, the psalmist and I depicts, give a word sound, to picture HaElohim, the true good, the true God, as a mighty warrior who downstroys Israel's enemies. Elohim, known, Bihuda, in celebration, elebration, in praise, as praise, in Judah, in being praised, in being Isis, in being celebrated. The name, Shemo, his name, Shemo, his Shem, right, Shemo, his name. Here it stands in a metonymical kind of a sense for HaElohim, the true good, the true God, his reputation, his rep, because of his name. So his name is great in Israel. This is a verse that many of I and I, Rastafari, even in some of the previous and earlier days of many of I and I tried, along with some of the, you know, other and fellow Israelites of the other camps, when we are declaring, weep not, behold, Moa Anbesas Im Negeda Yehuda. Weep not, behold, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. King of Kings of Ethiopia. When we declare the glory of His Majesty, we not behold many of the other Israelites, you know. They, Yahweh, you know, and it's about what they say it's about, but His name is still great amongst them. The emphasis amongst even other Israelites of the name of Yahweh, amongst the other Israelites is even brought out and even verified here in today's daily psalm in the B part of the verse, Be Yisrael Gadol Shemo. However, no da. Somebody say nawada. No da, nawada. As we teach the youths, nawada. He is known. He is yada. Means to know. Yada. Now the emphasis on that last ah, because the ayin, it's an ayin, like today's daily psalm is Mizmor ayin. Some say it points as a word pick to the eye. One of the points of references, right, is to the ayin, is the eye. And the word sound in Hebrew for eye is ayin. So here you have ayin right here, right? So the no da'a at the end is an ayin. Now why is that significant? Because we have yad and yada. Yada, with a hey at the end. In other words, the yod, the y, the hey, and the dalet, right? Sleeker. The yod, the dalet, right, and the hey. The yod, the dalet, and the hey, or the y, the y, the dalet, the d, and the hey, h. So we have y, d, h. Yada means to stretch forth the hand. Yada. Now, the yad is the hand. Now, from a Western Gentile or from like an English-speaking ear, these two words sound virtually similar or even the same. Yada, and yada. But if it's enunciated correctly, yada, means to know. So in noda'a means known, noda'a, right? To ascertain by seeing. So to yada'a, because yada means to stretch forth the hand, One of the senses of stretching forth the hand means to stretch forth the hand in praise, to stretch forth the hand in worship, right, in worship. And now this is the root, this is interesting, this is the root of Judah in the Hebrew, or Yehuda, noda'a, be yis, right, be yis. I was about to say the Yisrael, but that's the second verse. The first verse is speaking about Judah, noda'a, bihuda. Second verse says, be Yisrael, in Israel, gadol shemo, his name is great, but Elohim, the true good, the true God, noda'a, bihuda. So in Yehuda, at the root of Judah, the H3063 is yada, the yada, yada. So we have the yada, Y-D-H, primary Hebraic lifts, or the Y, the Yod, the Yad, the Dalet, and the He. This is the verb right here. That means to use the hand. To use the hand is to yada. Similar to yada. So you have yada, and we have yada. Yada, the root of Yehuda, is to use the hand, to hold out the hand, Physically, it can mean to throw at something or to throw a stone, to throw an arrow, in the sense of the yada is to throw by using the hand. So remember the root here, the yad is the hand, yada. Yada, to use the hand, yada, right? In the third sense, is to revere or to worship. To worship is to worship. To worship with extended hands. Put your hands up, right? As Judah, Yehuda, especially here in this north country, the so-called Negro, right? Yehuda, Judah, put your hands up, putting one's hands up, even that sign there, that many might know in the world flesh and the seclorum, like for party or celebration. Get that party or celebration. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hand. You know what I mean? There we have this Hebraic, the underlying Hebrew sense of yada. But yada also, in its fourth sense of the word, can be to bemoan by wringing the hand, a traditional sign of mourning or some bemoaning of something. In fact, we've seen this a lot in some of the Nollywood and the African movies, traditional kind of village movies. Someone is bemoaning and they grab their hands and they're like kind of ringing. We call it wringing the hands. They're wringing the hands. That's also to yada. That's also a sign of yada at the root of Yehuda. Yehuda, Yehuda. But here's what's interesting is that Hebraically speaking, right, for the, we could say, receptive, the intuitive, the in the sense of the intelligent reader, receiver, there is an underlying rhyme and relationship. Even in this first verse here, the first proper verse was in KJV of the Hebrew, Noda'a, Noda'a bi Yehuda Elohim. In the Noda'a from Yada'a, to know, yada, yada, to know, and Yehuda from yada, yada, to use the hand, to hold out the hand, to extend the hand, to put your hands up, right, to worship, to reverence, noda'a, known, be Yehuda, and putting out your hands, putting up your hands in worship, in reverence, be Yehuda, in praise, right, in praise, in celebration and adoration, Elohim, the true good, the true God, the Yisrael, in the man who sees the true good, the true El, the true God, in the Yashar, Yashar, Yisrael, Yashar, El, in the Sarah, right, the Sarah, Sarah, a prince, Sar, a Sar, a Sar, a prince, Yisar, Yashar, the prince with Elohim, as we get the interpretation in the first book of Moshe, the Hebrew book, that is called Bereshith in the Hebrew, the Sefer Bereshith, and known as Genesis, and known as Genesis. So even the underlying sense to the Hebrew hearer, to the Hebrew hearer whose ear is open, is the connection, right? The connection in the word sound between knowledge and that gnosis, right? That gnosis of Elohim, noda'a, 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 from yada, yada, to know, to ascertain by seeing, seeing, sight. This is used in a variety of senses, the sense of to know. There's a figurative sense of it, learning to read the Hebrew sign language, the figurative sense, the Hebrew hieroglyphic, the word picture sense. There's the literal sense. There is the euphemistical sense. There's the inferential sense. This includes observation, hear, recognition, and there's also the causative, to cause to know, to cause to be known in the sense of instruction, designation, even with the Shemo, the Hashem, the name. Also can have a sense of punishment, too, within that know and knowledge, right? That acquaintance, we have the acquaintance with. So the word to know, yada, yada'a. Here in the Hebrew sense, we have the noda'a, the noda, noda'a, to be known, noda, be Yehuda Elohim, be Yisrael gadol shemo, gadol shemo. Great is shemo, great is his name. So in Judah, so he made the connection with this verse here, Psalm 76, verse 1, and Revelation 5, 5, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe, the Lion of the tribe of Yehuda, of Judah, Yehuda, of praise, celebration, praise. So a little bit more on the Yehuda, Yehuda. Why is it Yehuda and not Yahuda? So see, when some interpret that as Yahuda, or in a sense misinterpret, they are putting the name Yah, right, within the name, it's almost like you're saying that Jah praises, that Jah himself, he who be Yah, that Yah he praises, that he is praising, in that sense, instead of the true sense of Yehuda or Judah, that he is praised. Yehuda is celebrated, that he is celebrated. This is why in the Baraka of the patriarch Yaakov, in the blessing of the father Jacob, Jacob says what he says. He says, Judah, you are the one. Yehuda, you, brother, Judah, son, Judah, Yehuda, you are he whom your brethren are going to praise you. This is interesting because you hear a lot of religious folks or on this pseudo, this kind of Western Gentile sense, counterfeit Christian and religious, so-called religious sense of it, where some people say, well, I don't praise nobody but God. But the Hebrew sense is also that a one who does the will and seeks to do according to the will of he who he be is praised. That one is to be praised, right? Even though that one in themselves may seek no praise, they must be aware of his ways that they are to be praised, and they can humble and receive that humbly and give all praise, right, to he who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. However, that is the sense here. So when one say that, well, I don't praise nobody but God or but Yah or Yahweh or but Jah, so forth and so on, or Christ, or as ones would say, that is not a true sense. That is somewhat adulterated. Well, you think it's very much adulterated. Very much adulterated with a foreign mind. That's a foreign mind. So it's a foreign mind. It's from a foreign mind when you say, well, I don't praise nobody but God. Well, the true God is worthy of all the praise, but in the Hebrew and Hebraic sense concerning the name of Yehuda, if we go into the Baraka or the Barakot, the blessings of Judah that we find in Genesis chapter 49, as well as Deuteronomy 33, we will find the sense of Yehuda, Judah, especially in the first, right, in the first sense of the mother, the matriarch, Leah naming her fourth son, right, her fourth child, her fourth son, should we say, her fourth son, she says, now she will praise. Because she will praise, she is naming her child, this fourth son, praised. He is praised. He is the one to receive the praise. Ya'akov, the patriarch, Abinu Ya'akov, he follows up on that and reinforces that sense in his word sound when he says to Yehuda, to Judah, that thou art he whom your brethren shall praise, and they shall bow, they shall worship. The same sense of the word to bow is to worship. They shall worship. Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Noda'a. Remember the sense of Noda'a? Noda'a is to be known, and the Hebrew sense is also to ascertain by seeing, right? And the seeing there should be understood in the Hebrew sense of the two truths, both by the natural seeing, right? That natural seeing, right? And that cycle, the cycle spiritual sight. We could say the third eye, that single eye sight, to be able to see it with the mind's eye sense of seeing, both to see it with the two eyes, right? The so-called the two holes, but also with that third eye, what was called the single eye, what Rabbeinu, I and I, Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Black Lord and Savior Yeshu, Aha Moshiach, calls the single eye, right, to see, Noda'a, Noda'a, Be Yehuda Elohim, Be Yisrael Gadol Shemo, great is his name. So on Judah, properly in the Hebrew is Yehuda, and the proper meaning of Yehuda is praised, celebrated. Yehuda is praised, celebrated. Praised, celebrated is Judah, and the root of Yehuda is from the Hebrew yadah, or to extend it so one can hear the fullness of the sound, yadaha, yadaha, yadah, 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 which means to use the hand, to use the yad, to hold out the hand, to hold out the yad, to throw at or throw away by using the yad, the hand, to throw a stone, to throw an arrow, yadah, to revere, to reverence, to worship with extended yad, right? The yadim, extended hands, also in an intensive sense to bemoan, to wring the hands. This word is translated often in the KJV as to cast something out, also from yadah, to confess. To confess, vidui, to confess. This is interesting. The word confess, if you read it Hebraically and understand the translations, it could be to praise. Some might misread it in one of the senses or in the wrong context. That means to praise, but it actually means to confess. Right? Stretch forth the hand, like if somebody's pleading with someone. You see a person pleading with another person, and they'll put out their hand with their palms. Their palms will be up. Or as they're speaking to somebody, to plead with them. I'm beseeching you. I'm pleading with you. They are holding out, right, the hand. Or they're confessing something. I want to confess. You see, I really didn't really mean to such a, and they're stretching out the hand. Confession. So the sense of confessing that we find even in HaTorah, in many areas of HaTorah, and many areas of the Brit Hashanah and other areas of the scriptures, we have the stretching forth of the hands, to praise. So yada, to confess. Yada, to praise. Yada, to shoot. To shoot is to yada, to shoot. To shoot a stone, to shoot an arrow, to shoot at is to yada. To thank, yada,
from yada, we get the other form from the Hebraic root of toda, or some Israelites will say tawada, tawada. And now tawada can be taught to basically teach the youth. These are the letters. It's the tav, tau, right? It's the wow, right? It's the dalet, right? The dalet, right? And then we have the hey, right? We have the hey, tawada, toda, toda, right? Toda. But now as we grow, right? The more, when the more teaches us, tewadaha, tewada, right? As the more teaches us. As we grow, right? In Rovenu, we know that it's toda, tawada, 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 toda. Right, that's what we call most of the Lashon Kadosh that ones and ones refer to as, like baby Hebrew. That's basic teaching of the basic glyphs, the basic sound of the basic glyphs. Tawada, Toda. So we have Toda. Toda is thanks. Odeka, Odeka. I will thank the I. Odeka Yehovah. I will thank the I. O Jehovah. Thank, being thankful, also the sense of thanksgiving, also the sense of the offering. There's the offering. There's the sacrifice, the zebach. There's a sacrifice of toda, the sacrifice of tawada, of toda, the sacrifice of praise from that root of yada, 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 yada there is praise, yada, yada. Now, when we have the sense of the verb, the other word that sounds similar to yada is yada, 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 which means to know. So this kind of a rhyme of similar word sound here, bringing out the sense of noda'a, bihuda, Elohim. Now the context of today's daily psalm, Psalm 76, here as we get into the first verse,